infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B's America.
Top news today. It's kind of a jail day. Paris Hilton is in. Scooter Libby is on his way. Oh, and one of the Enron boys picked up 2 years in federal prison today, too. We've got a lot to talk about. I'm glad you're tuned in and hope you can stay with us for most or all of the next 3 hours as we bring you the Peter B. Collins Show here on the Left Coast. Coming up first, Matt Renner will join us. He used to be my radio producer, and now he's a reporter for truthout.org. He was in the courtroom when Reggie Walton pronounced sentence earlier today, and we'll get his first-person account. Coming up in about half an hour, we'll get you prepped for the Republican Love Fest in Manchester, New Hampshire tonight. It'll be live on CNN in about an hour. And to get you ready for that, we're going to reprise the comments in the last Republican Love Fest when Congressman Paul, Ron Paul from Texas, blurted out things about blowback. He wasn't too articulate in what he said, but it was essentially true. And Randall Hamoud is he's an attorney and an American in San Diego who has edited a book called Osama Bin Laden, America's Enemy, in his own words. We'll talk about the blowback stuff and, some of the underlying issues that led to the attacks on our nation. Also today, writer Rian Eisler will join us, and she has a new book out called The Real Wealth of Nations. She understands economics much more than I do. We're going to ask her to comment on the G8 summit and what will or won't come out of it, and also ask her to describe her ideas about creating caring economics and trying to value caring, both what housewives do and what we do for parents and others when they become ill and that sort of thing. So that's ahead next hour. Plus, Jason Leopold will join us. He's Matt Renner's colleague at truthout.org. And he, of course, has been spot on covering the Karl Rove, Valerie Plame Wilson leak case that led to the Libby trial. And he'll be with us. We'll also ask him about his powerful, exclusive interviews with David Iglesias, the U.S. attorney who was sacked in New Mexico, and a new bearded Joe Wilson. The ambassador has moved to Santa Fe, and Jason caught up with him. Video packages of both those interviews are available at truthout.org. And lots to talk about in the free speech zone. That'll be coming up in our third and final hour, as usual today. Joining us now from Washington is Matt Renner. As I mentioned, he used to be the producer of this program, and now he's a reporter at truthout.org. Hello again, Matt.
Hey, Peter. How's it going?
I'm doing fine today. Nice to talk with you. Tell us what it was.
I'm joining you right now from a completely soundproof radio studio, but I decided to play some ambient traffic noise in the background just to make it feel authentic.
Oh, good. I understand, actually, you're at the headquarters of Crew.
Yeah, I just stopped by to meet everybody, speak to Crew.
Yeah.
And they're great. I love it. I love it here. It's like the center of the assault on the ethically challenged. It's great.
Why don't you go into the break room, though, and check the freezer and see if any dollar bill Jefferson's $100 bills are in there.
Yeah, don't they get a cut from every case they bust or something like that? I think that's how they have these luxury apartments or suites that they have up here.
Uh-huh. Well, you were there at the courthouse in Washington when Judge Walton passed sentence earlier today. Give us a scene setter. Describe who was there and what the attitude and the mood was.
Well, it was fun because I don't really get to interact with the Washington Beltway reporters that much, and I don't know any of them very well by name or by sight, except for David Korn and Isikoff and a couple other people.
Mm-hmm.
It was just fun to watch them interact, and they don't know me, so I got to kind of eavesdrop on their Inside the Beltway conversations. And then I got to go down to this cool little place. After the hearing, when I went to go write up my story, I went to go down to the press room where, you know, they actually provide you with internet and little desks to write up your stories.
Yeah.
And all of them were talking to each other and giving each other all their observations, and I was amazed because, you know, I thought that I always wondered why all the newspapers in all the have essentially the same story with essentially the same facts. It turns out it's because they all go down there and they agree on what happened. And I thought they were actually incorrect about a couple of things. So if you look closely, there's some minor differences between my story and the story, let's say, in the Washington Post or that David Corn's going to have.
Well, give us one example of that.
They focused a lot on this. You know, I'm not sure. I haven't seen their stories yet. So I don't know if they're there yet. But they saw that the mood in the court, they saw Scooter Libby as kind of unemotional in a lot of ways. And maybe it's because I was looking at a monitor. I actually went out into the hall where I could actually hear the judge because he was on a microphone to actually hear his sentencing. And in the courtroom, he was pretty quiet. And I got to see they had a camera on Libby, and you could actually see his face when they read the actual sentence.
Right.
And so a lot of these guys were down in the basement talking about how he just kind of stood there stoic as usual. But actually, if you were looking in the other room, and there's me and about five other people in there, he actually had a little moment where he sunk down and he realized, and this look of kind of realization and disbelief, yet everything hitting him at once. And it was brief, and he didn't go out of the courtroom crying, but he did have a moment there where he definitely was very deeply affected. And that was interesting because, you know, it's something that I think that a lot of them, you know, I can't say for sure, but it looks like a lot of people might have missed.
So give us the the blow by blow here as you arrived and then Libby and his defense team came in. Did you get any sense that he was prepared to throw himself at the mercy of the court, or did he just kind of feel like I came from the White House and I'm putting up with this like I got a jaywalking ticket or something. But, the appearance that I got or the perception I have is that he didn't offer any humility.
Well, I don't think he's quite that blasé about it just because he's probably spent about $5 million in his legal defense fund so far, something like that. But he definitely had an air about him of, I've been here for a year and a half. This isn't that new. I mean, he seemed nervous, but it wasn't as scared as I'd be, for instance, because I'm not going to get a presidential pardon when Bush leaves office. But the interesting thing about when they all came in is that everything got very quiet, and they sat down, and Patrick Fitzgerald came in, and I was actually somewhat surprised to see him. I didn't know he was going to be there. And he's a big guy. I mean, he's like 6'3", 6'4", something like that.
Really?
So, he's a very large presence. And one of the interesting things is that, you know, I expected him to have all his stuff together and be really well-spoken and organized, but he was a little bit stumbly and a little bit cluttered and just kind of, I mean, he got his points across, but it wasn't clean like I expected. I don't know. I guess when you work for the government, you have less incentive to be on point like Libby's lawyers were.
That's interesting because he comes across, at least in the news conference that he held after the Libby indictments were unveiled, he was very clipped, very scripted, and very much on message.
Exactly. It was strange to see him a little bit, you know, stumbling and kind of like I am now, but not really knowing exactly what he's going to say next, and then he'd get there. It was very interesting.
And how hard did he work? I mean, of course, the judge had received the briefs from both sides, but there is a final oral presentation. Did he just refer to his documents, or did Fitzgerald try to amp it up a little bit and demand prison time and appropriate prison time for this convict?
Well, his presentation was pretty short, especially compared to the defense's. His was, I'd say, about 2 minutes, 3 minutes long. Basically just saying, you know, I think it was a quote was, you need to show that truth is what really matters or is what matters the most in these cases. Basically, the sentence needs to be strong enough to show that you have to not commit perjury and obstruct justice. He was pretty short, though. And the defense took about, I don't know, 20 minutes, and that's one of the reasons it took so long. He read six of the letters that people wrote in Libby's defense. One of them happened to be from Paul Wolfowitz, which is hilarious.
And was that on on World Bank stationery? I've been curious about that.
Yeah, it's a good question, actually. I was listening to the press people talk about it downstairs, and they looked it up, and the date was actually after he left the World Bank, because he had to revise his whole letter. The original one, it said the president of the World Bank. They're due back in April.
Now, somehow, I can't imagine that that kind of a letter would be helpful. Wasn't Henry Kissinger also a letter writer?
I'm not sure. I think so. Yeah, I mean, you know, a lot of what they were focusing on was Libby's performance in civil service in terms of defense policy. And, you know, to you and I, it seems ridiculous to have Paul Wolfowitz, the hack that basically engineered the entire catastrophe that we have in Iraq, write you a letter of support talking about your public service in the defense world. But, you know, I guess that some people don't have that kind of logical reasoning.
No letter from Dick Cheney?
I'm not sure about that, actually. I didn't read the letters.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So then the defense made that presentation, and where did it go from there? Is that when the judge started to pronounce sentence?
Well, yeah, it's funny. He kind of surprised them and cut them off guard because after the defense made a presentation, Libby finally spoke for the first time in the whole trial. And the judge is, I think he's pretty annoyed with Libby for not speaking and testifying and Cheney not testifying, even though they kind of said that he was going to.
Right.
So when he finally got up there, he had a short remark. He said something pretty uninteresting and just basically said, you know, take my public service into account when you sentence me.
Mm-hmm.
And the judge, right after he was done, said, okay, and just kind of moved on to the sentencing phase without announcing it. He just jumped right in. And that was another moment that I was glad to be watching Libby's face because he was kind of startled that it was all hitting him all of a sudden. You know, there was no warm-up. He just said, okay, now I'm going to sentence you, basically. And, you know, he went into a long speech before he finally gave the exact sentence. But he kind of cut Libby off and definitely surprised him and his lawyers. It was actually a very funny moment.
Very interesting. Matt, do you have time to do another segment?
I do. I'm going to probably have to walk down the street here, though.
Okay. Well, you got 4 minutes. Do your walking, and we'll get back to you, okay?
All right, cool.
That's Matt Renner on the streets of Washington, D.C. He was at the courthouse when Scooter Libby was sentenced earlier today. We'll continue with Matt right after the break. And if you have a question for him, bring it on now, toll free. Well, actually, leak it to us, toll free. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. I'm your humble host, Peter B. Collins. You're listening to KRXA 540. Visit our website at krxa540.com. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Why are realtors from Los Angeles spending hundreds of thousands of dollars to defeat Measure A here in Monterey County?
It sure isn't because they want to save our farmland.
The developers and supervisors oppose Measure A because it puts an end to their cozy development deals.
Cozy development deals like the massive Rancho San Juan development that was approved by the Board of Supervisors but rejected by 76% of voters.
It's true. 76% of the voters opposed Rancho San Juan because it was wrong for Monterey County. But the developers pushed it through anyway.
That's why we need to pass ballot Measure A to protect our quality of life.
Measure A is a common-sense, community-minded plan to control growth that was written by the people of Monterey County.
It lets the people decide how fast we should grow.
So join the League of Women Voters and the California Nurses Association, who all support Measure A, because it lets the community have a voice about our future.
And that's why the Community General Plan Committee paid for this message. Vote yes on Measure A.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning.
to perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal. Choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show in Washington today. Scooter Libby was sentenced to 30 months in federal prison and fined $250,000. Let's see, 30 months, that's at least two turnings of the aspens. And I'm sure Judy Miller will return the favor and write to him while he's in jail, maybe even come and visit him. Matt Renner, who used to produce the Peter B. Collins Show, is now a reporter with TruthOut.org. He's in Washington. He was there at the courthouse when Judge Walton passed the sentence to Mr. Libby earlier today. And, Matt, you touched on this a little bit earlier. I wanted to see if you saw anything else that supports this. Judge Walton clearly was perturbed at the way the defense put him and the whole process through a lot of pretrial and early trial motions about the discovery of classified documents like presidential daily briefs, which were intended to show how busy Scooter was and why he forgot what he forgot when he committed perjury.
Right.
And so I was thinking, as we've been discussing the potential for sentencing here, that Judge Walton might hit him a little harder just because of his own frustration at the way the Libby defense conducted their trial.
Well, it's an interesting question. I can't speculate on that, really, because I don't know, but you'd think that you'd want a judge to like you when they are determining how many months you have left. It was an interesting issue because I didn't think the judge was actually going to change his mind. I think he came into it knowing what he was going to sentence Libby with. But he definitely got annoyed when the defense took, maybe it was more like 45 minutes to give their argument about why it should be, why Libby was such a great guy, except for this one time. And I think we touched on it before the break, but I think that if Libby had actually stood there and said, I'm sorry for this. I actually apologize. This should never have happened. I am responsible for, obstructing justice. I think that there would be a different result. I think that the judge might have, sentenced him to a few less months.
Mm-hmm.
But, that would basically say that he was guilty, and that's something that the Bush administration is not very good at until you force their hand.
Yeah. Now, Matt, tell us about the scene that you witnessed as Libby and his wife left the courthouse.
Yeah, it was interesting because I just happened to be in the media room right down the hall from where the elevators are that everyone came down from the courthouse in, and a big group of people walked by, and I saw Patrick Fitzgerald, which meant they were leaving the courtroom. And so I walked over and saw Libby going out the other door, and it was pretty funny because there was probably 50, seven or eight news vans out front, 50 cameras out directly out front, so they decided to leave through the side door. But so there's a scramble of reporters to catch up with Libby, and I actually was there as he was exiting the building behind him and kind of came out behind him into the craziness of reporters trying to ask him questions, asking if he regrets doing what he did, and, of course, he wasn't answering any questions. But what I did see is Medea Benjamin, who's very recognizable because she's about 5 feet tall
yeah.
and always wears a pink shirt and always yells really loud, running up behind him yelling, "Scooter, you're going to jail." we want you to go to prison. Can't wait for you to go to prison. Just yelling at him, holding a sign that had a Libby, Rove, Cheney, and Bush with check marks or with boxes next to them, and with Libby's box checked.
Yeah.
And actually, when she was yelling, Libby was rushing to get into the car, and as she was yelling at him, he kind of stopped right at the car because he realized his wife was behind him still.
Yeah.
And she was running up towards him, kind of through the hustle and bustle that is the craziness after a court scene, and was just about to burst into tears as Medea was yelling at him and started to really start crying as she was kind of pulled into the waiting limo or the town car, and then it sped away.
Wow. The Mighty Mouse, Medea Benjamin.
No, that lady's so inspiring. I was just like, wow, I really, you know, that's what I always want to do at things like this. But, you know, I have a job to do, but it was pretty funny.
Yeah, speaking truth to the formerly powerful.
Yeah, exactly.
Chris and Salinas has a quick question for you. Go ahead, Chris, with Matt Renner.
Hey, Matt. Nice to hear you.
Hey, Chris.
Is Scooter Libby going to have to serve jail time during his appeal?
It's a very good question. The answer is somewhat complicated, and it looks like that issue is yet to be determined. The defense and prosecution both are going to issue. Well, the defense is going to issue their argument why he should not. The prosecution will rebut it. That's all going to happen, you know, early this week and then next week, and then Thursday there'll be another hearing to determine that issue. I was kind of hoping to get that wrapped up today, but apparently there's a whole procedure.
Okay, thanks a lot, and you keep up the good work.
All right, thank you, Chris. Yeah, what I learned from Elizabeth De La Vega, Matt, is that the judge, in order to free him today until his appeals, would have had to essentially say that he believed the case had a strong basis for an appeal, which,
right,
of course, is a judge saying, please overturn my decision.
Right, and that's what the briefs are going to be revolving around, is the two points that Libby's lawyers are trying to make, saying that, you know, there's actual basis for appeal.
Right. Well, Matt Renner, thank you for that live report. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Good to talk to you again.
Good to talk to you, my friend.
Talk to you soon.
Matt Renner with TruthOut.org, live from Washington, D.C., where he watched the sentencing of Scooter Libby today. Coming up next, more.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
This is Todd the Taxi Driver. And today, I've got a really important subject to talk about. This may surprise you, but it's not about politics. It's not about my perspective or my ideas. It's about what makes it possible for me to share my opinions with you every day. I'm talking about advertisers. Unfortunately, it costs a lot of money to own a radio station and keep it up and running. For those of us that have radio programs on KRXA, we're able to be here because of the support of local advertising. So, what's my point? If you're a local business and you like hearing what I have to say each day, even if you don't like what I have to say, but you support free speech, call the station and offer to sponsor this spot. Maybe you like Billy Sunshine's show on the weekend, or you listen to Hal and Coach every afternoon. If you like progressive radio, then become an advertising sponsor. And together, we can point out the hypocrisy of the right and continue to share the views from the left. This has been Todd the Taxi Driver.
There's a new full-service spa and salon in the heart of downtown Monterey at 397 Calle Principal. Gigi's Spa and Salon offers massage, facials, manicures, pedicures, haircuts, and styling, specializing in hair coloring, makeup, eyelash color, and extension, all wedding needs, and much more. Gigi's Spa and Salon is an experience that you must see to appreciate. It's a beautifully relaxing experience for both men and women. All the products used are the very best. If you are pregnant and want your nails or hair colored or perm, it's not a problem because all our products are odor-free and all natural. From now until June 30th, reserve a massage or body treatment or a facial, and you will get a free special treatment that is exclusive to Gigi's Spa and Salon. The Gigi's Signature Spa Shampoo. This is an experience your whole body will never forget. Call 372-0888 now and reserve your spot so you can treat your body to the unique services that await you at Gigi's Spa and Salon. Visit MontereyGigiSpaSalon.com for more information.
Every Sunday morning at 10, check out Rock Roller Real Estate, America's favorite real estate show. Learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are. Rock Roller Real Estate, every Sunday morning at 10. To be a guest, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. For more information, stop by our website at rockrollerrealestate.com. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance, Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
I'm Todd Hurlbert, and I invite you to listen to The Week in Politics at our new time, 7 p.m. Monday nights. We're Monterey's hardest-hitting political hot talk. We cover local politics, also tell you what's going on in Washington, D.C. And most importantly, we take your calls and find out what you think. So if you haven't listened to us before, find out what we're all about. Monday night, 7 p.m. It's The Week in Politics. See you there.
Hi, this is Scott Dick, your host of the Tasty Planet Radio Show. Every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and travel across the U.S. and around the world. I interview authors, chefs, winemakers, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make our world so delicious. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Hey, it's 33 after the hour. I'm your humble host, Peter B. In the second half of our doubleheader today, I sat in for Tom Hartman on his national program on Air America this morning. Some of you have already heard it, and some of you, like listeners on KRXA 540 in Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz, can hear it this evening. And I'll be doing that again tomorrow. Looking forward to it, so I hope you can handle the double dose of Peter B. Collins. Coming up next hour, writer Rian Eisler will join us. Her new book is called The Real Wealth of Nations. We'll get her take on the G8 summit and on her ideas about creating caring economics that actually value caregiving. And also on our program today, Jason Leopold will join us in about an hour. Matt Renner set the stage for a discussion of the Scooter Libby sentence. And we'll also talk with Jason Leopold about his powerful interviews with Ambassador Joe Wilson and David Iglesias, the U.S. attorney who was fired from his post in New Mexico. And both of those are video packages that you can find online at truthout.org in case you want to catch up with them before Jason joins us about an hour from now. Well, tonight is the next in a series of joint appearances by would-be presidential contenders. It's the Republicans who take on Manchester, New Hampshire tonight. Wolf Blitzer and CNN are hosting this round of joint appearances. And they do use the word debate, but you may notice I stay away from it because these are contrived joint appearances where the candidates are given time based on their perceived horse race position. And I don't consider them to be really debates. And I hope at some point the media, the corporate media, will permit these candidates to debate one another and really bring the issues out. In the meantime, we have to settle for what they're delivering. And in the more recent Republican gathering, Ron Paul, who is very much a trailing contender, he's a libertarian congressman who wears the Republican label. He's from Texas. And he's been outspoken on many issues. He doesn't believe the official story about what happened on September 11th of 2001. And in the more recent debate, He was not completely articulate as he tried to talk about the underlying causes of the attacks on our nation, why people like Osama bin Laden hate us, and what would motivate them to attack us and kill even our civilians. And Ron Paul gave this answer and was permitted to follow up. And then the Fox News proprietors of that joint appearance permitted Rudolph Giuliani to jump in as if he owns 9/11 and had to protect his turf. And he tried to put Ron Paul down and basically painted him as a crazy for suggesting that there are substantive reasons why our nation has been attacked and why people like Osama bin Laden issued a fatwa or, in fact, a declaration of war against the United States. Joining us now to talk about it is Randall Hammoud, H-A-M-U-D. He's an attorney in San Diego, and he's the editor of a book called Osama bin Laden, America's Enemy, in His Own Words. Randy, welcome to the program today.
Well, thank you for having me on the program. I appreciate it.
Well, and you and I did some negotiating beforehand. You are an attorney, and you had a bad experience with a couple of Yahoo talk show hosts in Los Angeles who had you on the program and just talked over you.
Yes, I've had that experience previously. I just asked, are we going to have dialogue or diatribe?
Well, I'm interested in your comments, so I will listen and probably jump in occasionally, but not to drown you out. So, first of all, tell me your reaction to Ron Paul's remarks and the way that Rudy Giuliani attempted to demagogue them.
Well, I was glad to see that Ron Paul had made the remarks that he made. It's almost like he'd read my book, but he also had caught up on the current events of the causative factors of terrorism and jihadism and the attacks of 9/11. And there are discrete policies that bin Laden has exploited in carrying his violent message forward, policies of the West and especially the United States that alienate good numbers of Arabs and Muslims throughout the world, and which he exploits to his advantage. And there was a tremendous blowback factor on 9/11. Bin Laden himself said in October of 2004, before the election, if I'd wanted to attack freedom because I hated freedom, I would have attacked Sweden.
Yeah.
That's exactly what he says. And, you know, he waxes eloquent in Arabic and in English in translation.
Mm-hmm.
Man's not a stupid man.
Well, it's fascinating, too, that... you know, and I'm one of those people who's skeptical about the official 9/11 story. I think the 9/11 Commission sold us out and really did whitewash the events. There were a lot of things they didn't even probe or bother to delve into. I've interviewed a number of people who wanted to be who wanted to testify before the 9/11 Commission and were not called to do so. And so I don't have confidence in that, but we'll stipulate for now that the events occurred more or less the way the official story tells us. And if we agree to that, then one has to ask why the Bush administration and many of its defenders has been so unwilling to simply examine the issues that more or less caused al-Qaeda to come into existence and then to challenge the United States first verbally and then in military or guerrilla manners.
Well, it's almost as though there was an agenda of neglect, because as early as June and July of 2001, Condoleezza Rice and the administration were warned that an imminent terrorist attack was going to occur, pretty much to be perpetrated by al-Qaeda, and they did nothing. Apparently, I think, were wedded to an agenda that they were basically had Iraq on the mind from the first moments of their administration. And even with the 9/11 rubble still falling and dust still rising, they're thinking immediately of Iraq rather than the realities of the day and the realities of the policy that might have engendered the attacks.
Mm-hmm.
An ideologue-driven administration like that won't look at facts and still doesn't. It's ideologically driven, and it makes short shrift of the truth.
Well, they've also...
Global warming,
they've questioned
al-Qaeda in Iraq, I mean, and Saddam Hussein and al-Qaeda. I mean, everything's distorted or disingenuous when it comes from them.
It is. And they've also challenged and questioned the patriotism and the rationality of many people who've asked simple questions, you know, like, why did Building 7 come down? Now, Rosie O'Donnell is not the perfect carrier pigeon for that message, but, you know, they've been attacking her in the media and the right-wing talk radio sphere really simply for raising that question. And it's much easier to bash Rosie O'Donnell than it is to answer the question, how did Building 7 come down?
Well, if she'd been hewing to the administration's line and script, she would never have been removed from any programs or subjected to any pillorying by anybody. That's the difference. The broadcast media is very much afraid of this administration, and Rosie O'Donnell is just the latest victim in its paranoia about what this administration may do to it, meaning the media, their licensing, et cetera, down the line.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Randall Hammoud. His book is called Osama Bin Laden, America's Enemy, in his own words. Randy is the editor of that book. And tomorrow on our program, Chalmers Johnson, a retired professor from UC San Diego, who is the author of a book called Nemesis, which is part of an unintended trilogy of books. He is the one who first used the term blowback in popular publications. And he'll be with us to talk about that and give us his reaction to whatever occurs in the Republican Love Fest in New Hampshire tonight. But, Randall, if you could, talk a little bit about more specifics about comments attributed to Osama bin Laden and how the United States has either ignored those comments or twisted them into justifications for, say, the war in Iraq.
Well, bin Laden was predicting back in 1995 and 1996 that the United States had designs on Iraq and would probably invade Iraq. And believe it or not, when you prove his message to be credible in 2003, it gives him a lot of deep traction in the Middle East and Islamic world. But his initial grievances were basically the unfair treatment of the Palestinians by the United States policies and the United States' overwhelming support for Israel. The stationing of United States military forces in the Persian Gulf, and especially in Saudi Arabia after the Persian Gulf War,
mm-hmm.
and the support of the United States for autocratic regimes throughout the Middle East, and the exploitation of the oil resources. Now we've added to his original grievances, which, by the way, were grievances across the Islamic and the Arab world. I mean, these were messages that with which people did not disagree. They may disagree with Osama bin Laden's tactics, but not the message, because the message embodies policies that they see acted out by the United States and the Western powers in the Middle East with ramifications to the detriment of the local population. But then you add into that equation the Iraq War, which was a tremendous diversion away from the war on terrorism, and basically Christian army invading a Muslim country that did not present a strategic threat to the United States. Bin Laden's message resoundingly echoed across the whole Islamic world now and in the Arab Middle East. And, you know, although they only account for no more than 10% of the attacks in Iraq today, the foreign fighters are there in numbers fighting the new crusaders. Because bin Laden was saying this is a new crusade, and he was defining it as such since 1995.
Mm-hmm.
And we see the tragedy of it, because these people are being trained in urban warfare tactics and the United States military's tactics, and they're learning their deadly lessons in Iraq now, which has become a training ground for a new generation of jihadis or terrorists, in the Western sense of the word, and they're being sent to other theaters of operation to apply their new skills. Afghanistan now, as they're using suicide bombers and improvised explosive devices and explosively formed projectiles in Afghanistan that they never used to see there. Lebanon now is fighting some indigenous Islamic experienced fighters from Iraq and its own borders, who, you know, are claiming alliance with Al Qaeda.
Well, I'm glad.
Emphasized, but Iraq has become spawning these people and training them.
Randy, I'm glad you worded it that way, because in the corporate media in this country, Fatah al Islam, which is the group that the Lebanese government is attacking in the refugee camp in the Tripoli area, in the U.S. media, Fatah al-Islam is loosely referred to as affiliated with or inspired by Al-Qaeda. And there do appear to be some linkages, and there also appears to be something that has not yet been widely reported in the U.S., and that is that through some proxies, American arms have been flowing to Fatah al-Islam. And now we have just resupplied the Signora government in Tripoli as it launches this military assault on a group that appears to, at least indirectly, have been supported by the United States.
Well, bin Laden originally was supported by the United States, funded by the United States, and trained by the United States. Don't forget that.
You're talking Afghanistan, yes, yes in the 80s.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
He was a favorite son of the Saudi intelligence people, of the Saudi Arabian government, and the United States government through 1990.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a break and we'll return. If you have a question or a comment for our guest, Randy Hamoud is with us for another segment till the top of the hour. And you're welcome to call us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. That number again is 888-573-8372. Osama, you know the number, and your call will go directly through the NSA and into our switchboard. So give us a cave call, will you? More in a moment, right here on the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540. Visit our website at KRXA540.com.
Have you thought about owning more real estate but don't know where to turn? Are you interested in learning how to make good profit buying and selling real estate? Or do you want to learn how to let your tenants pay the mortgage while you enjoy the equity? If you want to learn the ins and outs of real estate investing, listen to The Real Estate Guys, Sunday nights at 5 on KRXA. You can own more real estate. The Real Estate Guys will show you how. Listen Sunday nights at 5 and on the web at realestateguysradio.com.
Seize the day and save money. That's the slogan of Stardate Solar, a company providing you with the highest quality solar power for your Monterey Bay Area home or business at the guaranteed lowest price. And that's the idea behind the Stardate Solar Power Hour. I'm your host, Dale Julin. Every Saturday at high noon, our nationally known cast of energy experts will tell you the latest news about the coming solar economy. And you'll also hear about the politics of solar power as well. The Stardate Solar Power Hour, Saturdays at noon and at StardateSolar.com.
In these United States, you have many rights. You have the right to assemble. You have the right to free speech in a free speech zone. You have the right to an attorney. You have the right to a speedy trial. Well, not if you're in Guantanamo. You have the right to privacy. No, wait. No, the FBI can read your mail and listen to your phone calls. America, where are your rights? Join Billy Sunshine, then we'll find them for you.
The Billy Sunshine Show, right here on KRXA 540 AM, Sundays 3 to 5.
Come on in and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread. Travis Gone's, everything's a taste, you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a good affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with crumble stew. A side of couscous and a Bible galoosh, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Or have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in. Sit right down, it's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery in PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
And the Peter B. Collins Show continues. You can join us toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B. My guest is Randall Hamoud, H-A-M-U-D. He's the editor of the book Osama Bin Laden, America's Enemy, in his own words. And Randy, what made you decide that you needed to publish a book like this?
Well, I represented the three young Arab Muslim men who were arrested in San Diego in September of 01, right after 9-1-1, because they'd been acquainted with two of the hijackers who visited San Diego in 2000. And in following them through this, proceedings in a cold, dank cell in New York MCC prison. I said to myself one day as I was sitting there waiting for one of the clients, who is Osama bin Laden and what is this all about? Because I was relatively ignorant about the subject, too.
Mm-hmm.
And all we knew at the time, I thought, was he was tall and he might need kidney dialysis, and that wasn't enough for me, so I started doing some research into it more thoroughly. And there's a lot more to him than being tall and kidney dialysis as his basically characteristics. He's a very formidable foe. We need closure on that issue, and our troops are misdirected in Iraq. They need to be in Afghanistan and basically the western portions of Pakistan finding this guy.
John Edwards has been saying that the war on terrorism is a bumper sticker, and I generally agree with that. What's your take?
I agree with that, because remember, the war on terrorism is a war on tactics.
Yeah.
It's not really. We need to focus our energies totally on Al-Qaeda's leadership, on bin Laden specifically, maybe even declared war on them specifically rather than this broad brush, indefinite, never-ending war on terrorism against nondescript enemies or whoever we might want to add to the list tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And we have so much strained credibility on the whole subject matter now. We say we're engaging a war in terrorism against terrorism, and yet we have in the United States a man accused of blowing up an airliner whom we protect. We say we...
You're talking about the Cuban.
The Cuban, yes.
Right.
And we say we basically are opposed to terrorism, but we allow the MEK, which is the Mujahideen al-Haq,
right,
which is anti-Iran, secular, and on our list of terrorist organizations, to exist and continue to exist in northern Iraq and to run cross-border raids into Iran.
Indeed, we have, yeah.
While we prosecute people in this country, accusing them of having affiliations with MEK. So,
mm-hmm.
So when you get into these vague generalities like that, you really have credibility problems down the line.
Now, Randy, with the three gentlemen that you represented in San Diego,
right,
just in broad percentage terms, how much of the information that we should know about them has actually, you know, surfaced and been vetted?
About my clients?
Yeah.
Oh, it was all surfaced and vetted immediately. They knew nothing about 911. They weren't Al-Qaeda sympathizers.
Mm-hmm.
They were just caught up in that knee-jerk dragnet that Ashcroft and Bush launched right after 911 that they claim they never will do again, but which I seriously doubt. I'm sure that if there were, God forbid, were another terrorist attack, there would be even more numbers of Arabs and Muslims in prisons and holding cells and camps.
Now, were your clients the same people who received funding from the wife of Prince Bandar?
No.
Okay.
They had no. My three were just students. They were acquainted with these two hijackers, Nawaf al-Hazmi and Khalid al-Madar, who visited San Diego in 2000. They met him at the local mosque.
Mm-hmm.
The two hijackers were passing themselves off as students at the time.
Uh-huh.
And no one thought any more of it until 01, you know, the tragedy of 911. And you know, the FBI came into San Diego with a fine-tooth comb, and my three clients were singled out for arrest as material witnesses,
mm-hmm,
and transported to New York for testimony before the grand jury.
Now, what is your reaction to the plot that was exposed over the weekend in a big media splash about a group of guys who wanted to blow up the jet fuel tanks at JFK in New York? This appears to be evaporating as a story, even as quickly as it's been reported. New York Times headline reads, court papers portray plot as more talk than action. Money and training are called lacking. And here's this line. At its heart was a 63-year-old retired airport cargo worker who, the complaint says, talked of his dreams of inflicting massive harm, but who appeared to possess little money, uncertain training, and no known background in conceptualizing or planning a terror attack.
Well, this is what's happening. This administration issues these indictments and has news conferences claiming that they've broken up a terrorist cell that was a clear and present danger to the United States. And, in fact, the straw that usually is stirring the drink in these cases is an informant who's very self-serving and seeking a better deal for himself or getting big money from the government.
Amen.
And so I think there are serious questions about the credibility of the administration with these indictments issue. And the problem I have is they really haven't found anybody with all this effort since 9-1-1 who actually had any knowledge about 9-1-1 or actually was members of Al-Qaeda. Remember, Zacharias Moussaoui was in jail since August 15th of 2001, so he hasn't been caught by the by the federal government as a 911 player either.
Yeah.
And Randy, a lot of innocent people, I think, have paid a price because of the dilution of resources by these broad-based, ethnically driven dragnets and arrests.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think of the Lodi Mosque case and many others.
Sure.
Hold on just a second here. We're going to take some calls. I'm going to switch you over here, and you won't feel a thing. Just have to press that button, and we've got Randy there, and we've got Dave in the Pinnacles. Hello, Dave. You're on the air.
Oh, hi, Peter B. Long time no talk. How you doing?
Doing okay. Go right ahead.
Good. Hey, what I want to know is if you could put your mind inside of the terrorist's mind, what do they think about the collapse of Building 7? What do they think about the apparent missile attack at the Pentagon? What do they think about these things?
All right. Randy?
Well, I'm afraid I can't reach that plateau as well, how they think or what their mind would be, their mindset would be. I think what they think is that if the United States would change its policies in many, you know, very, very obvious respects, then they could just go back home to their families. Because, I mean, these people are driven by policies for the most part. And if we would, you know, seek an effective, fair peace between Israel and the Palestinians and get out of Iraq ASAP, you know, a lot of this wind in the sails of terrorism would dissipate immediately.
All right, Dave, thank you. Now to Dave in Humboldt. We got 2 days back to back. Go right ahead, Dave.
Hey, Peter. Not that long a time, no talk.
Yeah.
And, Randy, I'm carrying along with the previous caller there. How much of a role do you believe Bin Laden and his crew actually played in 9-1-1? As a certainty, he could not have kept our Air Force on the ground for a couple of hours while it went on. As a certainty, he could not have authorized planes to go around and pick up some 160 Saudis while all other planes were grounded. There's so many questions in my mind. I know that he expressed some views on it, but they also produced a video that wasn't Bin Laden, claiming to be Bin Laden.
Right.
Well, I put it this way. 100 years from now, somebody will be sitting somewhere and someone will come next to them and slip them a data storage device that may have the truth about 911 on it. Just like 100 years after the Kennedy assassination, maybe we'll know who killed JFK for sure. And in the meantime, it's conjecture. But I think there were, in the government, certain elements that could have facilitated the attack, because they certainly didn't prevent the attack.
I would agree with
you. Plenty of warning of the attack, and I don't know that we've ever had that properly vetted or properly brought people to accountability for that.
Randy, great to talk with you. I hope you got to talk enough here. And
I appreciate it. Not very much.
Recovered from John and Ken. Go to the website osama-bin-laden-book.com for more information about Randall Hamoud and the book he's edited. Thank you, Randy.
Thank you. Have a nice day.
Tomorrow Matters, hosted by me, Deborah Lindsay, will be moving from Sundays to a daily spot Monday to Friday, 2 to 3 p.m. I'll still be bringing in the guests, and you'll still be calling in with your questions and ideas, and we'll still be working collectively to set the standards for a more sustainable future. But we'll be doing it 5 times a week. Starting May 14th, join me, Deborah Lindsay, right here on KRXA 540 a.m. for Tomorrow Matters, weekdays from 2 to 3 p.m., because for all of us, tomorrow really matters.
How would you like to stop your taxes from paying for war? You can support the War Tax Option Act, which adds a checkbox to your tax form that stops your taxes from funding war. This frees up your tax money to pay for other vital programs that you care about. For more information, call 831-521-6042 or visit wartaxoption.org.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. The sentence is stiff.
Former White House aide Scooter Libby gets 30 months in jail. I'm Barry Bagnato with U.S. District Court in Washington.
President Bush tells Putin to chill.
The Cold War's over.
This is the CDS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney.
Morning, sir.
No comment from Lewis Scooter Libby after he was sentenced to 2.5 years behind bars for lying to the FBI and obstructing the investigation into the outing of CIA officer Valerie Plame Wilson. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato was there.
Libby looked weary as Judge Reggie Walton praised the former White House aide's public service, but then chastised him for what he called serious behavior. People who occupy these positions have a special obligation, he declared. Libby spoke briefly, asking the court to consider, as he put it, my whole life. Prosecutor Patrick Fitzgerald, in no mood for leniency, argued no special category can be created for people not responsible for their actions. When Libby left here, demonstrators taunted him. Former Ambassador Joseph Wilson, whose wife was at the center of the CIA leak probe, praises the sentence.
As an American, I'm always delighted to see that justice is done and that the rule of law in our country is confirmed.
Vice President Cheney, in a statement, says he is, quote, deeply saddened by this tragedy. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, U.S. District Court, Washington.
The White House says President Bush feels terrible for Libby and his family, but does he feel badly enough to prevent Libby from ever seeing the inside of a prison cell? CBS News correspondent Peter Mayer has that part of the story.
Louis Scooter Libby's supporters, including many current and former Washington power players, hope for a presidential pardon. The White House has brushed aside any questions about that. Aides say President Bush will wait for the full legal process, the appeals, to play out. Some legal and political observers expect any pardon would wait until after the 08 elections.
Now this.
Yeah, Dave, Ted here. Hey, tomorrow at 522, a forklift is going to smash right into our conveyor system. Really bust it up good, okay? You should be getting a call about 523. Just wanted to give you a heads up. Thanks.
In your job, you don't get warnings, so Grainger's just added a massive amount of material handling products to help get you through whatever the day brings. We're adding products and removing problems, from casters and wheels to carts and conveyors. We have what you need to move, handle, and store just about anything. Call or visit your local branch or go online to Grainger.com. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Running out of ink? Run into Office Depot. Office Depot has over 500 choices of ink, toner, and fax supplies that your business needs, in-store or online. Office Depot is always low-priced and never out of stock. That's our guarantee. Don't risk running out of ink and setting your business back. Office Depot, taking care of business.
Taking care of business.
There's been harsh rhetoric from Russian President Putin in advance of the G8 summit in Germany, and President Bush, speaking in Prague today, shot back.
In Russia, reforms that were once promised to empower citizens have been derailed, with troubling implications for democratic development.
But he said the Cold War is over and Russia is not our enemy. He offered to share the U.S. missile defense technology that Putin has gotten so riled up about. While the Senate continues debate on the immigration compromise, the city of New Haven, Connecticut, has taken matters into its own hands. Officials have approved plans to provide ID cards for illegal immigrants so they could open bank accounts and use other services that normally require a driver's license.
This is an attempt for New Haven to provide something for its citizens, for public safety, for public welfare, well within the powers of the city.
Yale Law Professor Bob Solomon, it's estimated that New Haven has 15,000 illegal immigrants. The city already prohibits police officers from asking people about their immigration status. The fourth suspect in the alleged plot to blow up a fuel pipeline at New York's Kennedy Airport surrendered today in Trinidad. Two other men jailed in Trinidad are fighting extradition. Tests so far show TB traveler Andrew Speaker is not that contagious. The results of a third sputum test came back today, and it was negative for TB bacteria. Charles Daly is one of the doctors treating Speaker at the National Jewish Medical and Research Center in Denver.
People ask me, well, with multiple negative smears, where would I place Mr. Speaker? And I would place him down at the not very infectious end. But as I've said almost every day, that does not mean zero.
He wants to see cultures come back negative before deciding whether the patient can be allowed out of isolation with a mask for short periods of time. Norris Hall at Virginia Tech, where 31 people died in the April 16th shooting massacre, will never again be used for classes. The university says the building will house labs and offices, and the rooms where the killings took place will be closed permanently. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Ah, summer. It's travel time. Vacation time.
Dad, are we almost there?
We're not lost, are we?
Honey, wasn't that our exit?
What does detour mean?
Did you even look at the map?
This little travel reminder is brought to you by Garmin Street Pilot GPS, where you'll find all the directions you need.
Turn left on Pine Street.
For the most worry-free vacation ever. Garmin, the leader in navigation.
Skip commercials and enjoy your favorite TV shows in a fraction of the time with a DVR from Dish Network. Get a free DVR upgrade with DVR service. Over 200 all-digital channels, including local channels, plus 3 free months of HBO, Cinemax, Showtime, or Starz Movie Pack, all for just $39.99 a month for 10 months with Dish DVR Advantage. Call 1-888-499-DISH today. DISH DVR Advantage. It's about time. Offer ends 8-14-07. Subject to change without notice. Requires $49.99 activation fee. 10-month discount requires mail-in redemption. Restrictions apply.
Indicted yesterday, Louisiana.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show. The antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
So let me follow this. The dollar is down, but the stock market is up. The deficit is up, and my real income is down. You can tell I have a little trouble with this thing they call economics.
People moving up, people moving in, why? Because of the color of the skin.
Run, 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 but you sure can't hide.
Yes, I hit the wall in Econ 101, and it was a professor named Eisner who we had this 8 a.m. class at Northwestern, and frankly, I didn't get it. And now Rian Eisler joins us on the program today, and she understands economics much more than I do. She has a powerful resume, has written numerous books, has, well, her books include The Power of Partnership and Tomorrow's Children, and there are many others. Her current book is called The Real Wealth of Nations, subtitled Creating a Caring Economics. Welcome to our program, Rian Eisler.
Pleasure to be with you, Peter.
Nice to talk with you. And I want to make the connection for our listeners that your husband, David Loy, was on our program a month or 5 weeks ago. And between the two of you, you have a publishing mill in the Monterey area with 22 books either on the shelves or on the way right now.
Well, we are prolific and passionate. And I think that, well, just like you, are passionate about doing what we can to help make our lives better, and of course that led me really to write this book on economics, and I would like to say it's an antidote to what is very often rightly called the dismal science of economics.
Yeah, well, because yours involves trying to value certain things that the hard-nosed economists think are either frivolous or things that can't be converted to a dollar equivalent.
Well, and I do show, if you recall from looking at the book, that actually while we can't completely convert well the things that are really valuable into dollars and cents, there's a movement afoot, a very important movement, to quantify so that our economic indicators aren't so completely misleading. I mean, we now have the G8 meeting,
mm-hmm.
and they are going to be really relying a great deal, as do all economic discussions, on the commonly used economic indicators like gross economic product, gross domestic product, and those indicators are simply wrong. I mean, there's no other way of putting it. Not only do they include, well, they include activities that actually harm life. You know, making cigarettes, the medical bills, the funeral bills, they're terrific for GDP. Oil spills are wonderful for GDP. Well, you know, the cleanup, the lawsuits, the depositions, the expert witnesses, the appeals. But not only do these commonly used indicators on which policies are based include negatives on the plus side, but they fail to include those activities that contribute the most to human welfare and human well-being. And by this, I mean the household economy. The product is people, and, you know, economists love to talk about high-quality human capital, especially for the post-industrial economy. Well, where is that produced? Or the natural economy. In other words, they don't include the life-sustaining activities. So in The Real Wealth of Nations, of course, I start with a basic premise that the real wealth of nations isn't financial. It is the contributions of people and nature, And therefore, we need economic systems that give visibility and value to caring for people, beginning with children and nature.
And give us your take on the G8 summit. Does anything meaningful occur there? It looks like Bush and Putin are getting ready for some mud wrestling over missile defense in the Czech Republic. But for the average American, is there any meaning in the G8 summits?
Well, I think there is some meaning. How much is another issue. I mean, the missile thing, of course, is another lunacy, but we don't even need to go there. I'm sure that you'll be talking about that. But it is important that finally this president is going to say, gee, there is such a thing as global warming. Yeah, mm-hmm. And we've had a lot of warnings about just how bad global warming really is, and we're going to do something. So it's a baby step. And from that perspective, yes. But really looking at the larger picture, given, for example, that the economic map that they look at is so incomplete, and that therefore the economic rules of the game are so distorted, that meeting really is just going to really skim on the surface at best.
Mm-hmm. And so, for example, in your book, The Real Wealth of Nations, you enumerate six different points that you call the foundations for a caring economic system, and one of them is inclusive and accurate economic indicators. So the G8, the wealthiest nations on the planet, are gathering, but the data that they are using does not fully reflect human activity and the value of those activities.
Well, you said at the beginning of the program, the stock market goes up and the income goes down. I mean, these are really, yet if you look at the conventional measures, it gives us a totally erroneous picture. Now, that's bad enough, but what's really much worse is that policies and practices are based on these erroneous measures. And you did say something at the beginning, which is can we really measure the contributions, say, of the household economy, of a caring and caregiving work done in the household. As I said, how can you possibly measure how we feel when we're cared for? That's beyond measurement.
Mm-hmm.
Or how we feel, for that matter, when we care, because we get neurochemical rewards of pleasure by the grace of evolution, not only when we're cared for, but when we care for another, be it for a child, a pet, a friend.
Mm-hmm.
But it is possible, and it's beginning to be quantified. And this is the point that a lot of people will say it can't be done, but it's actually being done. For example, the Swiss government, which isn't exactly the most far-out nation in the world, they did a survey that actually included in measurements of productivity the work done, the unpaid work done in households. And they concluded that if that work, which is, of course, still primarily performed by women, but more and more men are doing it, that's the good news, if it were included, it would constitute a whopping 70% of the reported Swiss GDP. So it's a very lame excuse to say it can't be done. It's not easy to do it. It needs to be refined. But what's missing, as with all new ventures, is really the will to do it.
Well, and it's easier to quantify, at least it appears to me, the non-scientist here, than, say, the black markets that exist in virtually every economy in the world.
Well, you're so right. And this is, again, you've put your finger on something. The conventional economic models really only look at the market. And if you remember in the book, in The Real Wealth of Nations, an artist did this wonderful puzzle where, the old economic map, three of the major pieces of the actual economy, the household economy, the volunteer community economy, including, by the way, the social justice work, the environmental work, the civil society work, and the natural economy, they're just not included. They're just lying there. And so, naturally, if you just look at the market, well, what's the expression? Garbage in, garbage out.
Mm-hmm. And so one of the things that they will be hopefully wrestling with at the G8 summit is the new posture of the Bush administration about climate change and the human behavior that contributes to global warming. Now, I don't think Bush is sincere. I think he's simply dancing and buying time by proposing a whole new regime to try to get the biggest producers of greenhouse gases to reduce them. And so I don't take him really very seriously on this. But from your point of view, in trying to build what you call a caring system of economics, couldn't we come up with a win-win scenario where governments, nations, and industry team up to tackle the challenges presented by climate change and produce economic growth, as opposed to the dire projections that come from the Bush administration and that are now mirrored by the Chinese, who say, well, wait a minute. You're not going to impose reductions on us. We might volunteer, but you can't force us.
It's so funny because that volunteer expression is taking a page out of the free market and quote unquote. Of course, we don't have a free market, because how can you have a free market with mega corporations, you know, or big box stores like Walmart? But it's funny that the Chinese are using that same rhetoric, isn't it?
Well, they didn't even have to translate it.
Yeah.
They just used the original English. We'll pick up there as we continue. We're talking with the author of a powerful new book called The Real Wealth of Nations, Rian Eisler, E-I-S-L-E-R. And we'll continue in a moment. If you have a question or a comment, give us a call toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. That number again is 888-573-8372. I'm Peter B. Collins.
Our radio show for the whole family. Dysfunctional family. Stephanie Miller on AM 540, KRXA, 6 to 9 a.m. weekdays.
Why are realtors from Los Angeles spending hundreds of thousands of dollars to defeat Measure A here in Monterey County?
It sure isn't because they want to save our farmland.
The developers and supervisors oppose Measure A because it puts an end to their cozy development deals.
Cozy development deals like the massive Rancho San Juan development that was approved by the Board of Supervisors but rejected by 76% of voters.
It's true. 76% of the voters opposed Rancho San Juan because it was wrong for Monterey County. But the developers pushed it through anyway.
That's why we need to pass ballot Measure A, to protect our quality of life.
Measure A is a common-sense, community-minded plan to control growth that was written by the people of Monterey County.
It lets the people decide how fast we should grow.
So join the League of Women Voters and the California Nurses Association, who all support Measure A, because it lets the community have a voice about our future.
And that's why the Community General Plan Committee paid for this message. Vote yes on Measure A.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares. The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
And a look at traffic. Let's give the very latest. CHP is telling us about a problem on Highway 17. It's just for the cats, and it was a crash blocking the right lane there. In fact, looks like two cars involved in this accident. And as a result, CHP is there. They had to call the fire department for minor injuries. But it does appear, in fact, just getting word that everything's been cleared up. So that is some absolutely great news there. Let's also take a look at more problems. For example, we do have a problem just being reported. Soquel Drive at Rosedale. It is a crash. This one just coming in from CHP. CHP on the way to the scene. Not a whole lot of details there. Also, northbound Highway 1 at Buena Vista, we have a man with ladders. They apparently lost a couple of ladders. They're in the right lane. The van's off to the shoulder. They're trying to retrieve those as we speak. That's up to traffic.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. Smarter. That's some prescient advice from Robert Palmer, the late, great Robert Palmer. As we continue with one smart woman, Rianne Eisler, her new book is called The Real Wealth of Nations, and it's subtitled The Caring Revolution, a new economics that works for businesses, families, and the planet. She got some really nice blurbs from Desmond Tutu, Deepak Chopra, Gloria Steinem, and others. And, Rianne Eisler, I wanted to turn next to what I think is one of your central themes, which is that, for the most part, market-driven economics are about domination, about wiping out your competitors. And you have a different zeitgeist, which revolves around partnership.
Well, you know, I introduced, in the book that I'm best known for is The Chalice and the Blade, which, by the way, is now in 23 languages, including Chinese, among others, Arabic, etc. But in that book, I really proposed, and this is why my work really has been so useful to people, that the old lenses of, well, socialism versus capitalism, religious versus secular, east versus west, north versus south, industrial versus pre- or post-industrial, etc., that they're limited. They simply aren't helping us move forward, and that we really need to look at what kinds of belief systems and what kinds of institutions, from the family, education, religion, to politics and, yes, economics, support relations, not the relations we've been trying to leave behind, top-down rankings of domination, but relations of mutual respect, mutual caring, mutual responsibility and accountability. And my work is always based on a great deal of empirical data, because there are two things. I mean, one thing is I don't believe that you can just preach to people to be nicer. I mean, you can do it, but it hasn't done that much good, you know, for thousands of years. What you really have to show people is that it can be done and that it's actually beneficial to everybody involved. Mm-hmm. And so in this new book, in The Real Wealth of Nations, I'm really proposing that we look at economics using these two lenses, and I show that it isn't just capitalism. I mean, feudalism really was worse, wasn't it, in terms of top-down rankings of domination.
Mm-hmm.
And we've inherited a lot of beliefs from that time, including a belief, that anything that is stereotypically considered soft or feminine, you know, because a mainstay of what I call the domination system is the ranking of one half of humanity over the other half.
Yeah.
That anything that's stereotypically considered feminine, whether it's embodied in a man or a woman, you know, like an effeminate man, it's an insult. You know, he's a sissy, he's pussy-whipped, I don't know what else. That it's inferior to anything stereotypically associated with women and the feminine. So our politicians, especially in this time of regression to the domination system, they'll tell us, oh, there's always money, is there, for prisons. You know, well, of course, I mean, that's the stereotype of the punitive male head of the family, right? Wait till your father gets home.
Yeah.
or for weapons, for wars. You know, the hero is killer, another dominator archetype. And I want to emphasize this has nothing to do with anything inherent in women or men. You talk to my husband, to David, he's a wonderful, caring man, and some women aren't. But somehow these politicians and a lot of people will say, well, but we just don't have money for caring for people, for health care, for child care, for paid parental leave, for the, quote, soft, stereotypically feminine work. So one of the things, if we're serious now about change, we have to really examine these unconscious and sometimes conscious beliefs, bring them to the surface, talk about them, and see how irrational their reflection turns out to be in the even in the market. I mean, we pay plumbers, a profession that doesn't involve caring, you know, the people we entrust our pipes to, $50 to $90 an hour, but the person to whom we entrust our children, a caring profession, the child care worker, according to the Department of Labor, it's an average of $10 an hour, no benefits. We demand the plumber be trained. How could we entrust our pipes to someone who isn't, right? But we don't demand that child care workers be trained. So this is not, really, it's not logical, it's pathological. So the first thing is recognizing what we're dealing with and then moving forward to really show that actually not only do caring practices and policies pay in human terms, in environmental terms, but they pay, as I write in the book, caring pays in dollars and cents.
Mm-hmm. Now, just a minute remaining here, and this is a big subject, but you and David Lloyd both embrace what you call evolutionary systems science. How does that play into your theories here about a new kind of caring economics?
Well, very simply, Peter, because, look, the old economic systems, and really I have to say socialist systems have also terrible environmental problems. And look at what's happening in China in terms of the gap between haves and have-nots as they move towards more of a capitalist economy. They're not working. And as a mother, as a grandmother, I mean, I'm passionate about the fact that they're not sustainable. We must move to a more effective, more efficient, more sensible, caring economics in evolutionary terms if we are to have a future for ourselves, our children, and generations to come.
Well, Rianne Eisler, it's a pleasure to talk with you. Nice to know you, and we will talk again.
I'd love to.
All right.
Thank you.
And give my best to David Lloyd, your husband.
Will do.
Okay, thanks to you both. And Rianne Eisler's new book, as we mentioned, The Real Wealth of Nations, it's out in hardcover, and it is from Barrett Kohler Publishers. Coming up next, Jason Leopold checks in. We'll talk about the Libby sentence, and we'll talk about his exclusive interviews with Joe Wilson and David Iglesias right here.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Carmel's community bookstore, The Pilgrim's Way, is a locally owned independent bookstore and has been for nearly 40 years.
Discover for yourself our intimate and unique setting, including the secret garden, known locally as a hidden treasure in downtown Carmel. Our friendly staff at Pilgrim's Way are available to assist you with any personal needs or gift buying. And our book selection offers the best of personal development, local interest, bestsellers, novels, children's, and metaphysical, plus much, much more. We have great music and healing tools, cards, and garden statuary.
Visit us at www.pilgrimsway.com or call 624-4955. Or visit the Pilgrim's Way, Carmel's only bookstore, and the Secret Garden on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in Carmel.
Terrorists of the Caribbean. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. In New York, Mayor Bloomberg said that the bomb plot against JFK shows that, yes, we must be vigilant, but if you really want to do something to stay safe, quit smoking or change the batteries in your smoke detector and just get a life. And he's got a point, because if you look at the suspects in this case, how could you predict they'd be the ones to go over the edge? The alleged ringleader, Russell DeFreitas, is a former JFK cargo worker, 63 years old, naturalized U.S. citizen, originally from Guyana. Another suspect, Abdul Qadir, is a former member of the Parliament of Guyana. And they were recruiting among the converted black Muslims of Trinidad. I knew we should have kept our base in Trinidad. As for their reconnaissance, they apparently relied on Google Earth to scope out JFK. These guys do not fit the profile of the terrorist who's waiting to follow us home from Iraq. This is the kind of plot that could clearly be hatched by anyone who is upset enough about something. So what do? Mayor Bloomberg says you rely on the FBI and the police to do their jobs. That's what you do. As for what set these guys off, DeFreitas, the cargo worker, told an FBI informant that he was enraged at the missile parts being shipped to Israel from JFK, which is why he dreamed of blowing it up. But he's under arrest now, thanks to a Muslim informant who posed as a fellow conspirator and who was so convincing that DeFreitas was heard to say on tape he must have been sent to help by Allah himself. And you know, maybe he was. The Lord works in mysterious ways. Sometimes he wears a wire for the FBI.
Computer security threats such as spam, spyware, viruses, and pop-up ads invade your business every day through email, web browsing, and instant messaging. And the fastest way to stop them is with Barracuda Network's spam, firewalls, and web filters. Call 888-ANTI-SPAM now and ask for your free trial. Barracuda Network's firewalls are affordable and easy to use. That's why over 35,000 leading companies are using the award-winning firewall. Try a Barracuda firewall for free. Call 888-ANTI-SPAM, 888-ANTI-SPAM, or go online to barracuda.com.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
Phase one. Scooter goes to the slammer. Leaking all over the damn place. Let's not forget that. Jason Leopold joins us again today. He's the intrepid investigative reporter from truthout.org, and he's got his own memoir out called News Junkie, which is a great read. Jason, it's been quite a busy day.
Indeed, yeah. Today is definitely a remarkable day in terms of just how serious these corruption scandals, and now we're seeing obviously the sentencing of Scooter Libby. How truly remarkable it is in terms of the end result.
Indeed. Let me just give people a couple of bullet points here. I want to talk with you about the Libby sentence. Your colleague and our former producer, Matt Renner, was on the beginning of the show and described the scene in Reggie Walton's courtroom in Washington today. It was quite fascinating.
Yeah.
Also want to talk with you about some breaking news about Mr. Schlotzman,
right,
who was a former Justice Department official and certainly a player in some of the Bush administration's inner workings. He testified on the Hill before a Senate committee today. And then I want to talk with you about your powerful video packages that people can see right now at truthout.org. Your exclusive interview with Joe Wilson, who's grown a beard now that he's escaped to Santa Fe, New Mexico.
Right.
And also a great interview you did with David Iglesias.
Excellent.
So let's kick off with the Libby verdict. It's real interesting because Truthout had a piece up yesterday from Elizabeth de la Vega.
Right.
And Betsy came on the program and said, yeah, I think it's going to be about 30 months. And that's exactly exactly what came out of Judge Walton's mouth this morning. Now, she had no prior knowledge. She was simply speculating based on the range for the crimes that he was convicted of.
Exactly. And she had, you know, that just shows, you know, she has a really, Elizabeth de la Vega has a really incredible grasp on, you know, the law and the type of prosecutor that Fitzgerald is. And even more than that, she started to study Reggie Walton. I think, and his previous sentences in cases that are obviously not as similar to this, but, you know, overall general cases. And I think this really, you know, it's important to, you know, let people know that at this point, you know, Judge Reggie Walton, there are obviously with some issues regarding would he be tough. I think that 2.5 years in prison, whether or not he ever, you know, sees the inside of a jail cell is another question. But the fact that he, what he described as, you know, this is incredibly serious, should really, you know, let people know that, you know, I guess in some instances justice is served.
Well, and I think it's exciting that Paris Hilton is providing a role model for Scooter Libby about sucking it up, getting some makeup for your booking photo, and then showing up and serving your sentence.
Yeah, everyone's booking photo should look so good, right? you know, at the end of the day, we got to remember that Scooter Libby, you know, is a convicted felon. And he has, will obviously lose his license to practice law. He's, you know, he's going to have to pay a $250,000 fine.
That somebody else will provide the cash for.
Right, sure, exactly. I mean, you know, one of the, in fact, it's interesting, one of the reasons that his attorneys had said that he should receive a reduced sentence is the financial impact that this verdict would obviously have on him. Well, you know, it should be said that he's raised close to $5 million in his legal defense fund.
And we don't know anybody who donated to it, right? It's covert?
I'm sure Fred Thompson donated, you know, a bulk of the money from his Law and Order royalties or residuals. But, you know, again, it's the question as to whether or not Bush will pardon him, I mean, I'm going to say yes, of course he will. I think that the president's statement, Dick Cheney's statement, following the judge's Judge Walton's sentencing, is very telling. You know, they still believe this to be a tragedy for Scooter Libby. There's, you know, they both have you know, have yet to indicate the fact that this obviously, you know, harmed national security. It you know, resulted in Valerie Plame losing her job, putting her life in danger. This still is very much about, you know, it's too bad that this injustice, if you will, is done to Scooter Libby.
Mm-hmm.
Scooter Libby would really, you know, I mean, at this point, it's amazing as to why he would not, you know, be a bit more forthcoming and try to, you know, give up additional information.
Because he's counting on a pardon.
Yeah.
If he were an ordinary defendant, he would have been on his knees in the courtroom today saying, I'm sorry.
Right, which he did not do. And, you know, and to go a step further, Judge Walton actually, you know, actually said he does not see any reason to keep Libby, you know, for Libby to, you know, to remain free indefinitely while this, you know, while these appeals drag on. In fact, what, you know, he's expecting within the next 45 to 60 days, you know, to see these briefs that both sides are going to file, in addition to, you know, some sentencing guidelines by the probation department. I have to say that I'm really surprised at the sentencing that was returned by Judge Walton, simply because, you know, we've talked about this before. He was sort of involved in the whole Sybil Edmonds issue,
mm-hmm.
and the fact that he wouldn't let her, you know, speak. And, you know, just what we know of the Justice Department, of what the federal judges are like, who, you know, the fact that they're, you know, they're appointed and, you know, by President Bush, and it's clear that partisan politics, you know, play a huge role. I was really surprised. I think that he's quite serious when he says that he expects to see these briefs within the next 45 to 60 days, and I think that he's going to be serious in terms of whether or not Libby should remain free.
Well, two items. One, I direct people to truthout.org, where Matt Renner's article about today's hearing is posted, and it's rich with a description. I think you'll find it very interesting to read. And here's a statement that was issued on behalf of Ambassador Joe Wilson by his attorneys at CRU, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. And he ends by saying, it is our hope that he will now cooperate with Special Counsel Fitzgerald in his efforts to get to the truth. As Mr. Fitzgerald has said, a cloud remains over the vice president. But there's no leverage that Fitzgerald has to put any pressure or give any rewards to Libby for coughing up more information. Is
right.
there, is
I think
there?
That would be entirely up to the judge. Whether Libby decided to cooperate. I mean, this really would be, I followed the John Gotti trial very closely back in the 80s, 90s? And
I think it was in the late 90s.
Yeah. And sorry about that. I just lost sense of time. And, certainly the judge would be inclined to perhaps reduce Libby's sentence. I mean, this is all hypothetical. If Libby were to offer up some information that, that would perhaps show that additional people are culpable. Again, that would be entirely up to the judge. But at this point, he received his sentence, and I don't think that I think that Libby is going to remain as that loyal Bushy, to quote Kyle Sampson from the Justice Department, and not say a word.
Well, and Scooter's going to have two, maybe three turnings of the aspens that he can write to Judy Miller about from prison.
And by the way, that's actually, I'm glad you brought that up. There's 373 pages of letters that were written on behalf of Scooter Libby, basically, speaking about his character and the good work that he's done for the country over, more than a decade. Donald Rumsfeld had written a letter on behalf of him.
Mm-hmm.
I believe Peter Pace, I'm not quite sure. I believe that's another individual, but they're now released by the court, and people could actually take a look and see, the high level officials and former officials who work for this administration, how they view a conviction for perjury and obstruction of justice. They look at it as, he did good work, and that outweighs everything else. And I think that's actually, this is when that cliche at this point, saying that, no one is above the law, really should be used.
Well, Dr. Kissinger sent a letter.
Yeah.
Paul Wolfowitz, Doug Feith. I mean, it's a rich cast of characters.
The same characters who, launched this war, which is exactly what this, when it comes down to it, what this leak was all about. We have to go right back to the, to the start, that it was Joe Wilson questioning, accusing the administration of twisting intelligence related to Iraq, which led to this, everyone is going to, you're still going to have people out there that are on the right, split right down the middle, that are going to say Richard Armitage, the original leaker, whatever that means, wasn't charged, and this is ridiculous. The fact is that perjury and obstruction of justice is a crime.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to inject these partisan politics into the equation just doesn't make sense.
Now, tell us the other breaking story in Washington today. Is it Tim Schlotzman?
It's actually Bradley Schlotzman.
Bradley, okay.
And Todd Graves, who is the U.S. attorney for Kansas City, Missouri, who was fired. Bradley Schlossman used to work in the Civil Rights Division of the Justice Department. He's actually the, let me just say that if anyone can catch replays of this hearing that took place before the Senate Judiciary Committee, say, it is, it's like really watching a drama. And to witness the heated exchange between Schlossman and Patrick Leahy and Senator Dianne Feinstein is just remarkable. I mean, they were really angered mm-hmm. by Schlossman saying that he did not know basically what the law was. And what I mean is that he had actually pressured Todd Graves to pursue voter fraud indictments and investigations very close to an election. And, Todd Graves had said, there's no evidence. I'm not doing it. He was replaced by and Schlossman was put into that slot as U.S. attorney, mm-hmm. Acting U.S. attorney. And right before the election, he had secured indictments.
And as I recall, he went public and exonerated Governor Blunt of Missouri.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Totally, his testimony today, the number of times he said that he could not recall or did not know, pales in comparison to
Gonzalez.
Holy
cow.
It is just unbelievable.
All right, I'm going to have to stay up late and watch C-SPAN 2 and see if I can catch that.
I think it's C-SPAN 3.
Okay, on 3? No, I don't get that on cable. I guess I'll have to get it on the web. Okay, we're going to take a break and return. Jason Leopold with us from truthout.org. As we continue, he'll talk about his recent exclusive interview with Joe Wilson and also a great interview with David Iglesias, one of the U.S. attorneys who was sacked from New Mexico. And those video packages are available right now at truthout.org. More in a moment. I'm Peter B. Collins. KRXA 540. Visit our website at KRXA540.com.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the Old Granary Building, just 2 blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
And getting the jump on traffic here, we're going to take a look at the problem working from CHP. It's Ocala at Rosedale. It's a non-injury crash. It's just being reported. Actually, it's been there for a little while. CHP units on the scene there. Looking at a problem, it's southbound 101 just before Bailey. Debris all over the roadway.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. Are you rolling down the highway? Get your motor running.
Get your motor running.
We continue now with Jason Leopold from truthout.org, and as I mentioned, he's got two great video packages up, and congratulations to you. It looks like a two-camera shoot, and it was post-produced with stock photos and B-roll and that kind of thing. This is pretty nifty, and the content's great,
thanks.
Too.
Yeah, thanks. Appreciate it. You know, one of the things that we're trying to do in terms of getting into the 21st century is taking advantage of multimedia coverage.
Mm-hmm.
And this was great, actually. You know, I actually contacted, David Iglesias, who's in New Mexico, and Joe Wilson, and actually Mikey Weinstein, who was on your show before.
Oh, sure, yeah. He's the one fighting excessive Christianity at the Air Force Academy.
So actually we've got an interview with him coming up as well that will be out next week. But it was really great to, you know, to actually sit down and speak with David Iglesias in this type of, this is different for me. I'm used to writing stories. He was incredibly forthcoming.
Mm-hmm.
I felt that he really said, you know, some of the things that many people are probably believe is taking place behind the scenes. He believes that there's a smoking gun somewhere, and it's got Carl Rowe's name on it.
Yeah.
So I think that these, what he had to say in this interview was just, there's some new information there. I mean, he has a complaint that he filed with the Office of Special Counsel.
Right. Scott Block is going to get to that next November, maybe.
Right. He actually said it's going to take a year. At the same time, I did question David Iglesias about the integrity of this investigation, considering that Scott Block is under investigation himself.
Mm-hmm.
So he talks about that, and he also believes, and I think that this is really important because we're starting to see this a lot more now, is that he does believe that part of the reason for his ouster, had to do with the fact that he would not he did not bring any indictments on voter fraud issues, which is exactly what the questions directed at Bradley Schatzman today entailed.
Mm-hmm.
Just to let you know, I actually spoke earlier today, did another one of these interviews with John McKay, the U.S. attorney from Western Washington who was fired.
Yeah.
He said the exact same thing. That'll be up sometime next week as well. But again, there's a common thread here between all of these individuals. And the common thread is that they believe that, their reasons for firing had, in large part, had to do with the fact that they would not pursue, or they did not pursue, voter fraud allegations, and somehow there's a connection to Karl Rove, whose passion is, trying to claim that there's rampant voter fraud taking place.
Well, and the trip phrase really fell out of the lips of Monica Goodling. It's
right.
Called vote caging, and that describes the overall strategies that I believe are at the center of the fraudulent elections in 2000 and 2004.
Right.
And I believe, this is just my opinion, that Gonzalez is holding on because they think that he is the last line of defense protecting these secrets and, in turn, Karl Rove.
Right. Right. And I think that, that is exactly... In fact, I should say that John Conyers earlier today sent another letter to Alberto Gonzalez saying that documents are that he's requested, his committee's requested, still have yet to be turned over. He put together a list of 23, maybe 24 questions that he wants Gonzalez to answer by June 18th.
Mm-hmm.
What's interesting, when I spoke to John McKay today, again, and David Iglesias, they both said that no one seems to know who put this list together,
right,
how they got on the list. And, you know, the bottom line, according to them, is if it's the White House, it's got to be Karl Rove.
Right. Now, Jason Leopold, you also, as we mentioned, talked to Joe Wilson. He's grown a beard. They moved to New Mexico. Did you get to see Valerie and the twins, or just Joe?
I'm sorry. It was Joe and his whole family moved to Santa Fe, sort of to get out of the, you know, the Beltway drama that, you know, that they've been in the middle of.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what was interesting about Joe Wilson, speaking with him, is that he was clearly... clearly upset, and that's to put it mildly. He really is still, you know, dealing with the fact that that there's this discrediting that continues to take place. His wife is trying to publish a book. The CIA is, you know, stonewalling, saying that she cannot say things in the book which have already been said publicly that that have to do with her her work for the agency.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, he just, you know, in the interview, he just said that, you know, it's just Richard, you know, Richard Cheney's, I'm paraphrasing, but he said Richard Cheney's way of, you know, trying to halt free speech.
Mm-hmm.
And he, you know, really had some words for Cheney. But I also asked him just to, you know, let everyone know, you know, I brought up the fact that I reported on Karl Rove being indicted,
and
what happened.
And Jason, when I heard you ask that question on the video, I just said, "There's a real courageous guy." You could have just left it behind. You could have edited yourself, and you did not. Thank you.
Well, yeah, and I think that it's you know, it's sort of like ignoring that 800-pound gorilla in the room. I mean, you know, I wanted to see what Joe Wilson was saying. This was a perfect opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I would actually have to say that I was pleased with his answer, because his answer was, you know, he obviously didn't know. He couldn't say definitively what happened, but he did say, "I haven't heard anything out of Patrick Fitzgerald's mouth, and until I do, you know, I'm reserving judgment on what anyone else is saying."
Yeah. Well, you did a great job there, and again, I commend you for raising that question. Personally, maybe a little uncomfortable for you, but it's something that we want to know about, and I was thinking about it just the other day. You know, whatever happened to that?
Right.
So I'm glad you followed up on that. Jason, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks,
I want
Peter.
People to check out your video reports there and decide whether you should do it with the glasses on or glasses off.
Oh, right. Yeah, there's a thank you. There will be a vote on that.
A style thing. Thank you, Jason.
Take care, Peter.
Coming up next, the Free Speech Zone. Your calls and comments are welcome. We got a lot to talk about, so grab a line, toll free, 888-5-PETER-B.
Hi, Sheila Gale here with 12-Step Talk Uncensored, Addiction and Recovery Talk, Saturdays 4 to 5, now expanding to Wednesday evenings 7 to 8, taking shame and blame out of addiction. We take responsibility and treat it as the disease that it is. Great guests and great call-ins. Addictions, 12-Step Talk, it's about time. Now twice a week, Wednesday evenings 7 to 8 and Saturdays 4 to 5. Brought to you by Sun Street Centers, building healthy lives in Monterey County. Sun Street for recovery and prevention.
In response to rising interest rates, Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage in Salinas offers the following advice to homeowners with variable rate loans. Don't panic or overreact. If you feel trapped in a frightening squeeze, first analyze your situation calmly, then take the best action available. There are so many types of loans, one is very likely to meet your particular needs. For a free consultation with Victor Munoz at Creative Mortgage, call 757-0436. Let Victor share with you the knowledge that he has built up over many years in the mortgage industry. Call Victor at 757-0436 today.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. A virtual who's who of Republican Washington wrote letters of support for Lewis Scooter Libby, convicted of lying and obstructing justice in the CIA leak case. But at sentencing today, CBS News correspondent Bob Orr reports federal judge Reggie Walton threw the book at him.
Judge Walton, known as Longball for his harsh judgments, was unmoved, sentencing Libby to 30 months in prison and a $250,000 fine. Libby's former boss, Vice President Cheney, who did not write a letter in support, did issue a statement after the sentencing, saying, "I remain deeply saddened by this tragedy." And a press aide traveling with the president in Europe said Mr. Bush shared that sentiment. The White House, though, says the president has no plans to intervene. even though a pardon has not been ruled out.
Libby's planning an appeal which could keep him out of prison for some time. As the Democrats did two nights ago, Republican presidential hopefuls are going at it this evening in Manchester, New Hampshire. We get a live report from CBS News correspondent Dan Ravine.
They've just turned to religion, Bill. The 10 men running for the Republican nomination bearing witness to their faith in God, Mitt Romney said. Some wonder if for political reasons he'll distance himself from his Mormon church. Romney said that won't happen. Mike Huckabee said he believes God created us, but others are welcome to believe we are descended from primates. On stage at St. Anselm College, a lightning storm outside, sometimes interrupting. Frontrunners Rudy Giuliani and John McCain traded some barbs about the immigration reform bill, which McCain supports. Giuliani and other candidates tonight say it doesn't protect the borders enough. We'll have audio highlights later. Reporting live, Dan Revive, CBS News.
Castro speaks.
Para la tiranía mundial que están...
The 80-year-old Cuban leader seemed healthier in a pre-recorded interview broadcast on state television. Castro has made few public appearances since his intestinal surgery last summer, but lately he's been more active, writing newspaper opinion pieces and putting the word out that he's getting better. From Denver, reporter Rick Salinger has an update on Andrew Speaker, the man with drug-resistant tuberculosis.
Speaker is now on three medications, and his doctor says he's becoming less infectious daily. Three tests done on his saliva and phlegm have now come back with favorable results. He is not highly contagious. The next step is to determine whether Speaker should undergo lung surgery. Dr. Charles Daly says Speaker has been cooperative and is likely to go with whatever decision his doctors make. Rick Salinger, CBS News, Denver.
Ben Bernanke moved the market today, but not in a good way. The Fed chairman said he thinks the economy will pick up, even if the housing slump continues. Wall Street took that as a sign the Fed remains on guard against inflation and is not likely to cut interest rates. The Dow dropped 80 points, closing at 13,595. The Nasdaq 7 points lower at 26.11. The price of oil slipped 60 cents a barrel. This is CBS News.
Get the good stuff!
Hi, Michael Waltrip here. You don't have to drive a 500-mile race to know the importance of getting the most out of a tank of gas. Let NAPA help make your fuel go further with 3M Complete Fuel System Cleaner for just $8.49 a bottle. It not only keeps your car running smooth, it also restores power and fuel efficiency. The pros have trusted 3M car care products for years, and you can too. NAPA. Get the good stuff.
Get the good stuff!
Ah, summer. It's travel time. Vacation time.
Dad, are we almost there?
We're not lost, are we?
Honey, wasn't that our exit?
Daddy, what does detour mean?
Did you even look at the map?
This little travel reminder is brought to you by Garmin Street Pilot GPS, where you'll find all the directions you need.
Turn left on Pine Street.
For the most worry-free vacation ever. Garmin, the leader in navigation.
The prom can be a pricey proposition, so some teens need a little help. Heather Bosch of Seattle station KIRO found out how that works in her area.
Wow, that's pretty.
There are thousands of donated dresses at Cinderella's trunk.
I like this.
Angela Alarcio says if she hadn't borrowed a dress here, she would have skipped her spring formal.
Because dresses are really expensive.
Jackie Hallstrom started the nonprofit, which loans dresses and self-esteem.
They stand up straight, they get this smile on their face, and that's the real reward for me. It's like feeling like a princess, I guess.
In 7 years, Hallstrom's loaned 10,000 dresses, one smile at a time. Heather Bosch for CBS News, Bothell, Washington.
You don't have to get dressed up anymore for dinner at one of the fanciest restaurants in Dallas. Like many other eateries, the Mansion on Turtle Creek has given up its jacket and tie policy in an effort to attract younger diners. In most areas of the restaurant, casual is okay, even jeans and T-shirts. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Yeah, Dave, Ted here. Hey, tomorrow at 522, a forklift is going to smash right into our conveyor system. Really bust it up good, okay? You should be getting a call about 523. Just wanted to give you a heads up. Thanks.
In your job, you don't get warnings. So Granger's just added a massive amount of material handling products to help get you through whatever the day brings. We're adding products and removing problems. From casters and wheels to carts and conveyors, we have what you need to move, handle, and store just about anything. Call or visit your local branch or go online to Granger.com. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Running out of ink? Run into Office Depot.
Office Depot has over 500 choices of ink, toner, and fax supplies that your business needs, in-store or online. Office Depot is always low-priced and never out of stock. That's our guarantee. Don't risk running out of ink and setting your business back. Office Depot, taking care of business.
Taking care of business.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
1-888-5-PETER-B is our toll-free number. This is a free speed zone where your calls and comments are welcome.
Never fight them. Those who fight wars, I never like them. Those who write laws,
we're taking your calls this entire hour. No guests or other intrusions, just you and me. So give me a call toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Your reaction to the Libby sentence is welcome. There are lots of other things we can talk about, too.
Never ever gonna tell you why, no. They only wanna tell you lies, no. Never ever gonna tell you why, no. They only wanna tell you lies, it's time to go home, to take our boys away.
Yes, it's time to bring American troops home from Iraq. That's a given. Over 60% of Americans polled feel that way. But we can't get the Congress and the administration to move. And I know many of us are very discouraged that the Democrats blinked and gave Bush another check for $100 billion to continue the occupation of Iraq. And I don't know how I overlooked this, but during the news break, I was checking my email and looking at some stories online. And here's one from the Sunday Los Angeles Times. Democrats plan a capital barrage over Iraq. Summer plans include new withdrawal legislation and more pressure on GOP lawmakers. And in this article that was written by Noam Levy and published in the Sunday LA Times, they describe, Nancy Pelosi promising that the debate will continue. Tom Matzey, campaign manager for Americans Against Escalation in Iraq, says our job is to go into the congressional districts of members and create a political environment that is toxic. The public is there already. It's really about focusing their anger. And Eli Pariser of Move On says, to keep the faith, the Democrats are going to have to show that they're going to keep up the pressure. So, I don't want to make it sound like this is a big blue sky, but I am encouraged that the Democrats plan to keep the pressure up, and I hope that it will produce the desired result. The other thing I'd like to talk about, this gets a little tricky. I sat in on the Tom Hartman show earlier today, and our listeners in Eureka and Coos Bay heard it when it was broadcast live, 9 a.m. to noon Pacific time. Our listeners in Monterey can access the Tom Hartman program tonight, starting at 8 o'clock on KRXA. So some of you heard it, and some of you can hear it still, if you want. And by the way, if you live in Coos Bay or Eureka and you still want to hear today's Tom Hartman show, you can log on to KRXA540.com at 8 o'clock and hear the stream. At any rate, we kicked off the show on the Hartman program today with a conversation with a member of the Federal Communications Commission. He is Commissioner Jonathan Adelstein. And in part, we were talking about efforts to promote minority ownership, diversify the ownership and management of radio and television stations. But I also asked him to comment on yesterday's appeals court decision, which throttled the FCC, saying that its decisions on indecency cases on what's called fleeting expletives was arbitrary and capricious. And they cited in particular the fine against NBC for Bono at the Golden Globe Awards in 2003, where he got an award and he said, this is effing brilliant. Now, just right here, pause for a moment. I feel so silly having to sanitize the language and that I'm unable to quote Bono's fleeting, what is it? fleeting expletive. Because I could be subject to an FCC fine of up to $350,000. It is ridiculous. And I've been on satellite radio where I had the license to use the F-bomb as much as I wanted. And I didn't do it. I don't generally talk that way. I don't generally like to hear language or conversation that's peppered with F-bombs and other expletives. I remember going to see Eddie Murphy's film, actually it's a movie, not a film, Beverly Hills Cop, in the theater where no expletives were cleared up. And then I saw it 2 weeks later on an airplane, or maybe a month later, and they had sanitized all of the language. I actually enjoyed it better without all the F-bombs. But I'm not a prude, and I'm not a censor, and I believe that there are conversations and there are news quotes or stories that we get that justify broadcasting the actual verbatim remark and not reducing it to, you know, a cleverly sanitized phrase. But that's what I have to do because of our silly government regulations. So the court said, vulgar words are just as often used out of frustration or excitement and not to convey any broader obscene meaning. In recent times, this is a quote from the court decision, even the top leaders of our government have used variants of these expletives in a manner that no reasonable person would believe referenced sexual or excretory organs or activities. And so last year, I took a chance, and we broadcast on this program the actual sound clip of George W. Bush at the G8 summit, where he cut loose with an F-bomb. We did not broadcast Dick Cheney's F yourself when he said that to Dick to Pat Leahy on the Senate floor because there wasn't an actual recording. So the court goes on here, adopting an argument made by lawyers for NBC. The court cited examples in which Bush and Cheney had used the same language that would be penalized under the policy. We find that the FCC's new policy regarding fleeting expletives fails to provide a reasoned analysis justifying its departure from the agency's established practice. We are skeptical that the Commission can provide a reasoned explanation for its fleeting expletive regime that would pass constitutional muster. We question whether the FCC's indecency test can survive First Amendment scrutiny. Well, this is a real victory for free speech. And here in the free speech zone, we don't encourage you to use any of George Carlin's proscribed words. But we do acknowledge the silliness and the futility of efforts to police language in the media. And what it produces from bad boy radio shows who have lawyers to advise them on exactly what you can and can't say. Or, for example, some of you are familiar with Mike Malloy's radio program. Mike goes right up to the line. As it turns out, the words goddamn and son of a bitch were not on the original Carlin list. And even though some people consider them as offensive as other words that are on the Carlin list, the FCC list of words you can't say on the radio, GD and SOB aren't on it. And so on a regular basis, Mike Malloy cuts loose with GD, SOB. Now, I'm not a purist, and I occasionally slip, or occasionally I intentionally will use language like that that I know is not illegal. But I have to say I feel constrained, and I feel that my First Amendment rights are circumscribed by government regulation. And then there's the whole issue that, the FCC only regulates AM, FM, and broadcast TV stations. They have no content regulation whatsoever over cable broadcasts, even the lower-tiered, the basic cable package. And they have no control over satellite radio or satellite TV. And ultimately, Congress is either going to have to put limits on the unregulated outlets or lift the limits on the regulated ones. That's my view. So I'd like to hear from you. As long as you can keep it clean, give me a call, toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B. The Libby sentence, the FCC, the Democrats saying that they're going to keep the pressure up on Iraq. Those are three topics you can talk about if you want to follow my lead, or you can bring up something of your own. In any event, give us a call, and we'll talk about it. Marianne is first today in Pacific Grove. Welcome to the PBC show. Are you there, Marianne?
Oh, hi. I just lost you for a minute on my cell. Hi. Good afternoon, Peter.
Hi. How are you?
I'm good. Glad to have you back.
Well, thank you.
I am here in a precinct that has gotten a very low turnout, and it's normally a very high voting precinct, and I'm a bit worried. So I'm in Pacific Grove at the Baptist Church, 3rd and Laurel, and it's been a noticeably slow day.
Mm-hmm.
Noticeably slow.
Now, this is a very low turnout election to begin with. What's on the ballot?
It's a proposition, or whatever you call it, A,
mm-hmm.
Which will keep people from paving over what's left of the Monterey Peninsula. So it's been familiarized as yes, yes, no, no. It's only four items.
Okay.
But A is the big one. And it's serious because there's been a huge out-of-town campaign to knock it down.
I see.
So that's important. And
you know that the out-of-town campaign you described picked this time because they expected very low turnout, and
yep.
they figured that they could somehow persuade their supporters to turn out in greater numbers than the average citizens.
Well, that's what the campaign work has been, you know, just huge amounts of money thrown against this thing.
Now, when you went in, Marianne, did you get one of those notes that said if you request a paper ballot, it might be subject to overvote or undervote?
No, I did not. I was just dropping off, actually, my absentee.
Uh-huh.
And I was kind of, I can go back in because I'm still here.
Well, we think that they corrected that. Chris from Salinas brought it to our attention and also to the registrar. And we were told when I was away over the Memorial Day break that the authorities had agreed to fix that and to take those nasty little notices out of there.
Well, I talked to the lady who was the precinct captain. We were talking about the turnout, but I think she would have given me one.
Uh-huh.
I've voted here before, and these people are very regular participants in running this poll.
All right, well, why don't you check it out and get back to us if there is one of those documents laying around, all right?
I shall.
Thank you, Marianne.
But anyway, if I may borrow from you, please, people, get off your fleeting expletives and come out and vote.
Okay, that's effing brilliant, Marianne.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. All right, more calls are needed here at the Peter B. Collins Show. It's the free speech zone, and my lines are wide open for you. So take advantage of it. Give us a call, and we'll talk to you after a quick break here on the Peter B. Collins Show, 888-5-PETER-B.
Have you heard the show weekdays from noon to 2 on KRXA 540?
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service, full service.
Hi, everybody. Let's take a look at the latest. Talking a little bit about a problem located in, well, Soquel. Soquel Drive at Rosedale. Crash, two cars on the right shoulder. CHP is there. That's good news. Southbound 1 at Highway 17 in Santa Cruz. Left lane blocked. The reason? Good old-fashioned fender bender working there. Other than that, we're going to mention that, let's see, CHP also telling us, not much else going on. We do have some road work, actually getting something new. 129 at Rogie Lane, it is a crash reported there, and two vehicles on the shoulder. Other than that, a little bit of road work. We're in Santa Cruz, North 101, at North Highway 1, that is, at Emmeline. Alfrap, of course, shut down 24 hours a day. Don't miss The Sopranos on A&E Wednesday at 9, 8 Central. Now available across America. That is traffic on KRXA.
This is how we do it.
This is the Peter B. Collins Show, and I'm your humble host, Peter B. We're in the free speech zone, and no free speakers are taking advantage right now. And I tell you that because sometimes when the lines are jammed, it's frustrating. You know you're going to spend 15, 20 minutes on hold, and so you don't even try to call. But right now, if you call up, it'll be a short wait, and I'd like to hear your comments on the issues of the day, including the Libby sentence and some of the other things we've been talking about. 888-5, Peter B. is our toll-free number. That's 888-573-8372. And there should be shame and consternation at the Fox News Channel, but it's probably not running that deep. You may know that in the last couple of days, Congressman Bill Jefferson of Louisiana has been indicted on some 18 counts of bribery and misuse of his official office. One of the counts is for, I can't remember the name of it, but it's an international bribery statute. And when Fox News first reported the indictments of William Jefferson of Louisiana, they put up a picture of John Conyers of Michigan. Now, these guys don't look that much alike. I mean, yeah, does John Conyers look more like Bill Jefferson than, say, Newt Gingrich? Yeah, that's easy. But this is a case where Fox News was either sloppy or stupid or both. And when a blogger alerted Conyers' office to this, they demanded an apology from the Fox News Channel. And they got a kind of bland apology. Yesterday at this time, news of the indictment of the Congressman William Jefferson came down. We mistakenly ran the wrong video to accompany this story, and we apologize for that error. But they can't bring themselves to admit that they ran the picture of the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee. I mean, he's hardly a backbencher.
who would be confused with a guy like Jefferson. And I think Conyers has good reason to be pissed. And he is. We'll have to see what develops there. Drew in Monterey, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show today.
Hey, Peter. How are you?
I almost got to your call on the Hartman program today, and right when we picked it up, you were gone.
You know, I apologize for that. You got me there. You know, I think I'd be a little upset if they put my picture up there mistakenly, too, wouldn't you?
I would be, yeah. I'd be very upset.
Hey, question for you. I've been hearing a lot about the fairness doctrine, and you spoke about that a little bit yesterday. I don't know how in-depth you talked about it. I don't know much about it, but it sounds like kind of like how Bush started, he would name certain things like the Reforestation Act, where they would talk about helping the forest, and just helping loggers go in there and take a bunch of trees down. And I get this feeling that the fairness doctrine is kind of labeled the same way. It sounds one way, but to me, from what I've heard about it, it seems like a form of censorship.
All right. Well, first of all, it was healthy forests and clear skies were the Orwellian terms used for exploitive and predatory legislation by the Bushies.
Yeah.
But you might be comforted to know that the term fairness doctrine originated before 1984 and therefore has not been Orwellized as much as other lingo has. It was eliminated in 1987 when Reagan was president and his FCC simply deleted it from the regulations. What it said was that broadcasters had an obligation to provide both sides of viewpoints on controversial issues. And in practice, the way it was used is that on a program like this, we would have to have somebody who supports the war in Iraq in order to have on somebody who is opposed to the war in Iraq. And it was cumbersome, and I found it to be a burden, and I was pleased when it was lifted in many respects. Now, I do think that at that time we had more balance in the media and we had broadcasters who were more conscious of their obligation to present multiple viewpoints of controversial matters. And because things have tilted so far and conservatives dominate talk radio, for example, by a margin of 14-1, I think that there is some room for persuasion and policies that would cause broadcasters to broaden the range of views that they present. And so on KRXA in Monterey, I would not be opposed to having a conservative somewhere on our lineup. And likewise, I think that the conservative stations should either out of their own sense of responsibility or, if necessary, with a little government prodding, be required to, not only present one point of view 24 hours a day. Now, the mechanics of that, how it's all worked out, that can be devilish, and I acknowledge it. But I do think we need some version to rebalance the unbalanced and unliberal media that we have today. Drew, thanks for your call. We can talk about it again later. I'm Peter B. Collins.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
I found a Sunday school program for my children, one that has helped them develop their own system of beliefs and has taught them ethics and justice.
My partner and I were brought up in different faiths. The Unitarian Universalists welcome us both and honor our roots.
With so much division in our country, I found a congregation where people with different beliefs could gather as one. Unitarian Universalists seek wisdom from all the world's religions.
We were so caught up in our careers. We needed a faith community to bring us back in touch with the important things in life. We joined the Unitarian Universalists.
Unitarian Universalists believe in respect, freedom, and justice for all people. Come visit our church in the Monterey Peninsula at 490 Aguajito Road at the top of Carmel Hill. Visit our website at uucmp.org or call 624-7404.
A
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you have the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Every Sunday morning at 10, check out Rock Roller Real Estate, America's favorite real estate show. Learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are. Rock Roller Real Estate, every Sunday morning at 10. To be a guest, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. For more information, stop by our website at rockrollerrealestate.com. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
I have always said that I will listen to the requests of our commanders on the ground.
Mr. President, you did not listen. You continue to pursue a failed strategy that is breaking our great Army and Marine Corps. I left the Army in protest in order to speak out. Mr. President, you have placed our nation in peril. Our only hope is that Congress will act now to protect our fighting men and women.
Would you like to stop your taxes from paying for war? You can support the War Tax Option Act, which adds a checkbox to your tax form that stops your taxes from funding war. This frees up your tax money to pay for other vital programs that you care about. For more information, call 831-521-6042 or visit wartaxoption.org.
People are talking about the show on KRXA 540. Does it really suck less?
You guys are, in many ways, so self-referential that it doesn't let a guy like me feel like he can be part of the conversation.
We try not to be too self-referential, and we'll try to catch ourselves. I appreciate your call.
I wish I knew what that meant.
I wish I knew what that meant. Okay. But you're sucking less than you used to.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We continue in the free speech zone. And as long as you avoid the F-bomb and the other six proscribed terms, you can use your free speech rights freely. And if you want to talk about that appeals court dinging the FCC for its attempts to repress our free speech and take us back to the 30s or the 40s or the 50s, maybe that's the 1850s. Give us a call, toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Marjorie in Oregon joins us. Welcome, Marjorie. You're on the air.
Hi. I don't usually listen to the Oprah show, but I sacrificed a half an hour of your show to hear this, her interview, Michael Moore, regarding his film Sickos.
Yeah.
And it was good. I'm really wanting to see the movie now. And they showed film clips. And I would highly recommend that if anybody gets Oprah played at later times on their cable,
mm-hmm.
I'd recommend listening to this interview.
All right. I did see Michael Moore on Bill Maher's last broadcast. It was aired on the 25th of May, but I didn't catch up with it until last weekend. And he talks about Sicko, and it sounds very interesting and far less polarizing than Fahrenheit 9/11.
Exactly.
And Moore talked about some of the comments that he got at the Cannes Film Festival, where he said, Republicans and captains of industry came up and talked to me and said, good job.
Yes. And he really stressed how we really need a nonprofit type of health coverage.
Mm-hmm. Well, and what's your position? Because I really think that we have to bluntly admit that our flirtation with market-based delivery of health care has been a colossal failure. And I know that they're going to bring out the boogeyman of socialism if you talk about single-payer health care in this country. Yeah. But we know that the real source of inflation or increased costs for consumers is caused largely by the insurance companies, and right up on par with them are the drug companies. And we really need to stop preserving their monopolies in this phony sense of avoiding socialism by allowing a handful of companies to jack up the cost of health care delivery in this country.
Oh, yeah. We're just caught without any help because we have privatized hospitals and the privatized health insurance. I mean, they've trapped us.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when I was a kid, we had access to a nonprofit hospital, and my father got health insurance with his job, so we were fine. But that's not the case today.
No, and it has been a dramatic shift just in the Bush years of the basic burden of health insurance that used to be borne almost entirely by the employer is now shifted to the employees, and in many cases they're getting zero contribution from their employers.
Right.
And that's one of the hidden pay cuts that the average working family in this country has endured under the Bush presidency.
Well, another point that was dramatic to me was a lady that used to work for an insurance company explaining how she got a big raise in pay when she shifted to a job to deny coverage. These are for us who have health insurance.
Right.
And I think that movie would be well worth everybody seeing.
Well, I can't wait till it comes out. I'll be there.
Okay.
All right. Thanks for the call, Marjorie. Mm-hmm. Good to talk to you.
You too.
Now let's go to Nancy in Monterey. Hello, Nancy. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hello, Peter B.
Hi.
Pleasure to talk to you.
Yeah, it's mine too.
I just wanted to comment on the erroneous posting of Representative Bunyer's photograph instead of Mr. Jefferson's photograph.
Right.
And remind you that when Mark Foley and his unsavory issues first came to light, Fox News managed to post his title as a D for Florida rather than an R, showing that he was a Republican representative. They made it look as if he was a Democrat. So I don't think this was an accident. I don't think it was sloppy, though they're famously sloppy. I think it was just more of their disinformation program, shoving that kind of bad data out at people who are not wise enough to question or get another source of information.
Well, we can only speculate. However, it's hard to be generous or give the benefit of the doubt to the Fox News channel.
Not to those people, no. And I wanted to say I really enjoy your show. I usually listen to you as I'm doing today on my drive home. So thank you and keep up the good work.
Thank you, Nancy. I really appreciate that.
Bye-bye.
All right. Billy in Capitola, you're next. Welcome.
Peter, you get a lot of women calling. What do they know about you?
Well, I don't know how to respond to that, Billy. But I can tell you, we've mentioned this once, but in the winter ratings report, KRXA in Monterey had a very good showing. And the number of listeners credited to the Peter B. Collins Show here in the afternoon jumped by a factor of 10.
Ooh.
Now, we hope to sustain that, but given the way Arbitron works, and if I talk about it, they'll flag me, all I can say is that it sucks. And it fluctuates wildly from one report to the next, so we never take these things for granted. But I am grateful to the females who filled out diaries and credited this program.
But what people may not realize is that, although they probably do from listening, is that it's mostly a male medium. So it's sort of nice, you know, it's the rare guy who actually gets many girl calls.
Well, I like it.
Yeah.
I like the balance, yeah.
I like it, too. Geez. Can you say geez?
So far.
Yeah. You know, here's the balance I would put on it. This government is not happy with this decision. They really want to be able to go after people like you and me. And it's sort of interesting because it's so important to go after some small radio station for letting slip a word. And yet, on the other hand, this is the same government that when somebody wanted, when they had a good case against the tobacco company, they forced them to, you know, change the way they were going to close the case and ask for a tenth of what they were going to get.
Well, but tobacco is just killing people, and, you know, obscenity or other graphic language in the media makes certain people's skin crawl. So where are your priorities?
Exactly. This is why I sort of just, I'm so confused. I don't understand. It's not a world that I really recognize as sane or moral, you know.
Well, I mean, if you try to put all these things into some rational scheme, we would have to institutionalize you.
Oh, believe me, this Life in America Day is being institutionalized.
Yeah. Now, Billy, I want to bring up something that I think you were being a little careful about last week.
Go ahead. Go.
You know, I made this call to the Republican National Committee.
And it was fun.
And we played it today on Air America on the Tom Hartman Show, and I'm still getting emails. A guy in Chicago just heard it about 20 minutes ago. And he responded, excellent repartee with the Republitard. Muy bien, creo que el tiempo es corto para los Repubes. And he translates, very good, I think the time is short for these scumbags.
Ooh, I like that translation.
But I wanted you to know, I think you were concerned about the fact that I was skirting the rules in making a call like that.
Yes.
And to be fair, I was. But I have done this in the past without getting sanctioned, and here's the difference.
I thought that the statement, I'm calling for my job, was your technical way of bridging it.
It was. But the other excuse I would present to the commission is that they called me first. And they left a message asking me to call back to their telemarketing operation.
That's right.
So this is not like somehow I got Dick Cheney's home phone number and called him up and, you know, made fun of his lesbian daughter.
And by the way, they called on you because you're an opinion maker.
No, they called on me because I have a business license and they found me on a record somewhere.
Is that it?
And
not
also,
an opinion maker.
Well, and if they checked my registration, I am listed as a declined estate voter. So they may have been targeting people who are not openly Democratic or Republican, but who they thought they could pander to you know, get me on board.
Is there a list where I can be a declined-to-vote voter?
I don't think so. Thanks, Billy.
You bet, buddy.
All right, good to talk to you. Now to line four, it's Barbara in Oregon. What town in Oregon, Barbara?
Lakeside.
All right, great to hear from you.
Yeah, we have to go to North Bend to pick all of our favorite radio programs up. But what I wanted to get back to was,
yes, ma'am.
last week on Randy Rhodes, she was talking about this caging thing,
right,
and had the author of this book who got a hold, you probably know that story, of how he got some of the emails on his email that went to the Justice Department.
I think what you're referring to, I'm not totally familiar with the book, but there was a report that one of our contributors mentioned on this show that somebody tried to send emails to georgewbush.com, but they mistakenly sent them to georgewbush.org.
Yeah, then they came across on this author's email.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, he is the guy, this author, his first name was Craig. I didn't get the last name because I wanted to buy the book.
Mm-hmm.
But he's the one that met with Connors in New York, and there was a picture of him meeting with Connors about this.
Okay, then that's Greg Palast.
Greg what?
Greg Palast, P-A-L-A-S-T.
Okay.
And his book is a cracker. It's called Armed Madhouse.
Armed Madhouse.
And
that's
Thank you, Peter. Be sure, Barbara, that you get the updated paperback that just came out about 3 weeks ago.
Okay.
Because it's got some fresh reporting in there that Greg Palast can't get published ordinarily in the United States.
Yeah, well, we were sitting there, and we got so excited to hear about this thing. We couldn't believe it, that all was going on, and how they had sent all these letters out to especially the servicemen and all of that, that they knew the letters were going to come back, and it was just an outright attempt to keep them from being able to vote. And then when the ballots came in, they weren't counted. And this whole thing kept tens upon thousands of being able to vote, and they did it with the black people in the lower black community.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so glad to hear you bring up, because we've been listening constantly to try to find out something, if somebody was really going to do something about this. So when we heard you say Connors and all that, thank you, Peter. Thank you, because this is something that everybody needs to know about. Our whole right to vote is just going down the tube.
Barbara, I understand you have impaired AM reception, but do you have the Internet at your house?
No, and I'm not going to have one. Thank you very much.
Okay. Well, then, sometime when you're at the your libraries have been closed, too.
No. Our little local library is open.
Okay. Well, then, next time you're there, log on to bradblog.com. And Brad is with us here every Friday during the final hour. And he has been doing excellent reporting, some of it in collaboration with Greg Palast, on this whole issue of vote caging.
Yes.
And it's a strange term, but it crawled out of the mouth of misimmunized Monica Goodling.
Monica Goodling, we listened to all of that.
And I think that it is going to be the phrase that pays.
Yep. I think Gonzalez might get nailed.
Well, eventually.
I'm hoping so. I'm hoping a lot of them get nailed.
Yeah, I hear you.
Personally, for me, I think there ought to be impeachments. I'm a card-carrying Democrat, but I haven't contributed any money this year at all until I see them stand up and start doing something about this. I'm just a little bit disappointed.
Good for you, Barbara.
Yeah.
Thanks for checking in today.
Hey, great program, too. Love you.
Well, thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
I love being loved. All right, we're going to take a break. Why don't you bring on a little more love? A couple more phone calls would be great, and then we can finish out the free speech zone today. And I can rest up, and we'll do this again tomorrow. 888-5-PETER-B. Toll free, 888-573-8372. It's the Peter B. Collins Show.
A radio show for the whole family. Dysfunctional family. Stephanie Miller on AM 540 KRXA, 6 to 9 a.m. weekdays.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Hey, good looking. What you got cooking? How's about cooking something up with me?
I'll tell you what I got cooking. Dinner's ready. I went to dinnersready.com, chose 8 gourmet dinners, made an appointment, and went to their storefront in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove and prepared the meals there myself. Now I'm cooking them in my own home.
What's that you say? Dinner's ready?
That's right, dinner's ready. It's the newest concept in home cooking. They do all the shopping and chopping, and I get all the credit. If you're too busy to go in and make your dinners, they'll even do it for you. So sign up at dinnersready.com. Stop by and see them in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove or give them a call at 645-9100. That's 645-9100. Dinner's ready.
Traffic's ready as well, so let's get to it. Let's talk a little about what's happening. CHP telling us about a problem particularly as our CHP page comes up here. Here it is, ladies and gentlemen. It is Santa Cruz, left lane blocked, southbound 1 at 17. Two vehicles involved in this accident, and it looks like this is now in the clearing stages, which is great news. Aromas Highway 129 at Roji Lane, two-vehicle crash there. Apparently, this is on the right shoulder. CHP is there. A problem in South San Jose, we're telling you about this. San Felipe Road at Medcalf. Solo vehicle down an embankment there. Highway 17 looking good at this point, and no major stalls or accidents. Also going to tell you about a little road work. Santa Cruz and northbound 1 at Emmeline, we have a problem there. And this report brought to you by A&E.
Minutes before the hour, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. We're in the home stretch here. Lines open if you want to join me for a quick comment in the free speech zone. 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. And in about 10 minutes, I'm going to unplug here, run home, and pull $90,000 out of the freezer and see if there's anything in there for dinner. And I have rolled TiVo to capture the Republican Love Fest in Manchester, New Hampshire, which is in its final minutes now, but I'll catch it later this evening. And tomorrow, when I'm sitting in for Tom Hartman, we'll kick off the show with Cliff Schechter, who is writing a book about John McCain and runs the website TheRealMcCain.com. And we'll get his views on the Republican presentation in that group scene in New Hampshire this evening. We got Frank and Marina here. Hey, Frank. Welcome to the show today.
Okay, Peter. Good show. Let me have an ice tray full of some of that money.
Okay.
Okay. Anyway, a few things, Peter. We went to vote this morning down here in Monterey County, in Marina, where I live.
Yeah.
And, excuse me, we asked for paper ballots, and they gave them to us and voted, put them, you know, in a, folded them up about a few times and put them in the envelope, sealed, and put it in a box the old-fashioned way.
Really?
Yeah, no problem. They have them there. Mm-hmm. All you have to do is request them.
Okay, and they didn't discourage you or say, oh, gosh, I got to wait for Bob to come back and he's in the can? Nothing like that.
Marina, we got, you know, it's pretty good down here.
Well, good.
Anyway, I think, you know, Libby, that's a big joke. We'll see how much time at all he serves and when he serves it.
Well, and of course, the timing here, there was one caller, and it's starting to run together. I think this was on the Hartman show earlier, but a man who flatly said that he believes that Bush will try to run out the clock and hope that Libby doesn't go to jail, or if so, not for long. And then his scenario was that on Inauguration Day for the next president, January 20th of 2009, that Bush will pardon everybody in the administration, and then resign, allow Dick Cheney to take over for 20 minutes, just enough time to sign a pardon for Bush. Now, I do think that's a little far-fetched, but it is within the realm of legal possibility.
Anything is possible with this administration. Anything. By the way, you know, they have the Irving Thalberg Awards and Mark Twain Awards and so many awards. If they ever had the Sherlock Holmes Award, I would have to nominate Greg Palast.
Yeah.
He's terrific.
He is, on a lot of different stories, too. He's not a one-note proverbial samba.
Very intelligent man. Yeah. One more thing, Peter.
Sure, Frank.
You know, when they talk about, Hugo Chavez, and Castro, socialism, we've got to have the free market, the free this, the free that. Meanwhile, more and more people are losing their health insurance. And, you know, I'm a little bit older than you, but you remember when we first started out, they used to call, when you went for a job, and this is for the young people, I talked to so many people, they'd tell you what your job was going to be, the function, the hours and everything, then they hit the fringe benefits.
Right.
That's what you were waiting for.
Yeah.
Young people, Peter, as you know, don't even know what that means. Copay this, copay that. And even with these 401Ks, more, and that's, and you know, Hartman says it all the time on his show, It's not a pension. It's not a defined pension, a 401k. It's just a savings plan.
Right. Yeah.
And, you know, with deferred taxes.
Mm-hmm.
And more companies now, the more money they make, the less they want to give to the workers who make that money for them. And now a lot of them are not contributing to the 401ks.
And not only that, we saw that by going into bankruptcy, United Airlines and other airlines followed it, was able to essentially just flick off its pension obligations by saying, oh, we can't afford that because, you know, we got to keep our frequent flyer mile program going. It is tragic, and the only thing that's more tragic is the general silence about it on the part of many Americans.
Yeah.
They have stolen this from us, and most people are just sitting back saying, huh, look at that. Look at that. Frank, thanks for your call. I really appreciate it. And I want to wrap up the show today by reminding you that Alberto Gonzalez is still the Attorney General.
It was a long day for a guy with a short memory.
Sir, I don't recall. Senator, I don't recall remembering.
To help Alberto Gonzalez recall what he doesn't remember was this guy keeping score, a member of Iraq Veterans Against the War. He and a handful of protesters made themselves hard to forget during breaks in the hearing. Yelling sarcastic comments about the Attorney General's legal positions. Also keeping tabs on Gonzalez's memory was The Daily Show.
I can only testify as to what I recall. Senator, I don't recall. I firmly believe that nothing improper occurred.
But he assures you what he doesn't remember was handled properly.
Now, Gonzalez didn't invent I don't recall. It's a time-dishonored tradition.
I have to say I don't recall that at all. I just don't recall that.
I recall making the decision. When? Sir, I don't recall when the decision was made.
Ha-ha, go ahead and laugh. But I've personally made plenty of decisions that I recall making, but I don't recall when I made them. Not that I recall any examples. See, right there, two I don't recalls. Though that's nowhere near Gonzalez's total for the day-long hearing.
74 times. I don't recall. I think it's impossible.
How did she get into the Senate with that get-up? Free speech.
I'm going to work on my memory. I'll be back at you tomorrow. This is Peter B. Collins. Thanks for joining us today. This program produced in San Francisco by Katrina Rill. Brian Urban, our assistant producer, on duty today.
Sober Stones, do you have yours yet? Big Sur Jade is now available for you. This rare, beautiful, deep green jade is found in a tiny cove south of Big Sur, used by Native Americans in healing for hundreds of years. Keep one in your pocket to remind you of your commitment to living life present and sober. Go to SoberStones.com, SoberStones.com for your beautiful pocket jade. Touch it, feel it every day. Look at it. Sober Stones.
The Billy Sunshine Show.
Sunday at 3 o'clock, we're going to be doing something new, something different, or we'll do the same old thing, take your phone calls. One thing we know for sure, I'll have something to say. What? I don't know. I never know until I've said it. Find out what's the next thing to come out of my mouth.
The Billy Sunshine Show. Sundays from 3 to 5. On AM 540, KRXA.
It's not a coincidence we're at the extreme left side of the dial.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. 10 white men in dark suits just spent 2 hours on a stage in Manchester, New Hampshire, trying to show what makes them different from each other and from President Bush. CBS News correspondent Dan Revive has been following the Republican presidential hopefuls debate and joins us live.
Mr. Bush not mentioned much, though former Health Secretary Tommy Thompson did joke.
I certainly would not send him to the United Nations.
Next year's candidates want to distance themselves from Mr. Bush, and most outlined ideas for getting U.S. troops out of Iraq, but in a way that won't fuel terrorism. They blasted Democrats for their ideas. Some criticized John McCain for supporting the current immigration bill. McCain shot back.
For us to do nothing is silent and de facto amnesty.
Rudy Giuliani, when asked about a Roman Catholic bishop criticizing him for wanting abortion to remain legal.
Catholic bishop, any religion.
Giuliani looked up. A lightning strike disrupted the CNN and WMUR TV audio.
For someone who went to parochial schools all his life, this is a very frightening thing that's happening right now.
Reporting live, Dan Revive, CBS News.
Scooter Libby, Vice President Cheney's former chief of staff, has been sentenced to 2.5 years in prison for his role in the CIA leak case. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato was there.
A handful of demonstrators taunted Libby as he left. He said nothing. In court, he spoke only briefly and without emotion, asking the judge to take into account, in his words, my whole life. Judge Reggie Walton said the former top White House aide had contributed much to the welfare of the nation, but he said the evidence of lying and obstruction of justice was overwhelming. Government ethics expert Stanley Brand says the judge wanted to send a message.
When you speak to government investigators, you need to make sure you do that truthfully and fully.
Barry Bagnato, CBS News, U.S. District Court, Washington.
The White House says President Bush feels terrible for Libby and his family. He has not ruled out the possibility of a pardon, but has no plans to intervene during the appeals process. 3 sputum tests have come back negative, so tuberculosis patient Andrew Speaker is not considered very contagious. But Dr. Charles Daly, part of the medical team in Denver, says cultures have to be clean, and that's not likely anytime soon.
Mr. Speaker will be at this institution and will not leave this institution until we deem him non-infectious.
And that is
when the cultures are negative. And that could be a long time. It could be months from now.
Speaker might be allowed out of isolation for short periods of time. At Virginia Tech, the campus